is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Poy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon and welcome to Orchard Park, New York. Welcome to snowy Orchard Park, New York. The snow has just started. Those of you watching on the MSG side can see little snowflakes inside the new Era Field. Nothing spectacular yet. We don't know what we're going to get, but we know the snow is in the forecast. And the forecast for Sunday for the Bills and the Colts, probably some snow on the ground, you would think. The high temperature is going to be 23 degrees. The forecast calling for mostly cloudy Sunday with snow showers in the morning. The high 23, the winds out of the west-northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. And Sunday's chance of snow, 50%. A little bit higher than that right now. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. Donald, thanks for picking up the slack yesterday. I was under the weather.
You were under the weather. Yeah, yes. No, we had fun yesterday. It was all good.
Thanks to Chris Brown for filling in. What'd you have? Trey Wingo and
We had Steve Tasker on. We had Kyle Williams.
Come on,
as he was doing his whole media tour.
How'd that go, Kyle?
Buffalo. It was cool. It was good. What? Yeah, we got to talk a little bit about some football stuff and about his family and all that stuff.
What did you say about the defense?
About the defense.
The Buffalo defense.
And getting back to putting pressure on the quarterback. We talked about that a little bit. And he said, you know, it was a combination of obviously those guys up front, but also the guys on the back end doing a good job in coverage that helped them get those sacks that they got last week.
Yeah, 3 sacks last week and, what, 2 the week before against Alex Smith. They're kind of getting back on track.
Kind of.
Slowly.
Yeah. But, if you would think that there's a week that they could really get back on track in terms of sacks, it would be this week because the Colts' offensive line has given up a lot of sacks this year. They gave up – I watched the game from Jacksonville last week, and they gave up some sacks in that game. Yeah. And they might be the highest – in terms of teams giving up sacks, they might be the highest. Yeah,
worse than the league in sacks per pass play. Per play, 51 sacks they've given up. Which
51
still
sacks. Yeah.
To play. So I watched that game too. I watched that last night. The Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple of takeaways. By the way, we're going to get to Chris Brown in a moment. He's going to be out on the practice field inside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center, indoor practice today. A couple of takeaways from the early takeaways from the Colts and Jacksonville. First of all, Jacksonville is a better team than I thought, Donald. I saw them I've seen them play twice in the last couple of weeks. I saw them beat the Chargers in kind of a weird way 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then I watched that game last night, the Colts and Jacksonville. Good defense for Jacksonville.
Yes, really very good defense. I mean, their Twitter handle is Saxonville, you know, it's Saxonville. They get a lot of sacks, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They're not really giving up a lot, you know, on the ground. They really, to be honest with you, their formula for winning is the formula that we thought that we would win with this year, you know. And really what they won their 6 games with, the Bills, what the Bills have won their 6 games with, and that's very strong defense and a run game. They have really made it a big emphasis to really try to not put the game on Blake Bortles' shoulders.
Right.
You know, and so it's been working for them, and their defense is playing lights out. They got a lot of young talent on that defense, and Marcel Darius is playing well for them.
He is down there. He's making a difference. But on the Colts side, not that impressed, really, from the Jacksonville game. I'll watch a few more between now and Sunday. Jacoby Brissett, I think he's played or he's made 12 starts, or this will be his 12th start coming up Sunday when the Bills host him here. I don't know what to think about him, Donald. He kind of looks the part, but there's a lot of erratic throws, a lot of badly timed throws, a lot of inaccurate throws. It seems like he's got a live arm, but just doesn't quite know what to do with it yet.
Yeah, he does have a big arm. He can throw the ball down the field, definitely. T.Y. Hilton is a dangerous weapon for them down the field. But, you know, he's kind of like Tyrod in the sense of not a timing, rhythm type of thrower.
Yeah.
He wants to throw it to guys who are open. And in this league, you can't do that, you know. And with that offensive line that they have, you definitely can't hold the ball, you know. Now, Kyle did talk about yesterday, it's hard sometimes to bring him down, you know. Just getting to him, he's not going to just go down. You have to get him to the ground. So if they get to him this week, they got to make sure that they wrap him up or he will, you know, get outside the pocket and maybe make a play happen or something like that. But, yeah, I would say he kind of plays like Tyrod in the sense of not being on time with his throws a lot. You know, he has a big arm, but he's not always on time. And because of that, you know, he's making erratic throws. He's getting pressured because he's holding the ball a little bit longer. And so it just makes their offense look bad.
On defense, they look bad too, especially pass defense, I thought, in Indianapolis. Some huge holes in the secondary.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what the plan is.
You know, Brownie said they have corners who are going to start this game that have a combined four starts in the NFL together.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you want to look for your passing game to get going. Even without Jordan Matthews this week, if you have guys who are starting corner for them, combined four games started, you should be able to get something going. You know, I don't care if it's just say Jones, Brandon Riley, you know, him coming up now onto the roster. You know, with Charles Clay, you have to be able to – that is what you try to threaten, and that's the outside, the corners, you know. And so I think we should see this passing game get going a little bit this week.
I would think so. And who's going to be throwing it? We don't know yet.
We don't
know. In fact,
know.
Tyrod Taylor not going to practice today, excuse me, according to head coach Sean McDermott. And McDermott said there's no timetable on when Tyrod will practice. McDermott met with the media about about 2.5 hours ago. Here's what he had to say when he announced that Tyrod will not play today. And McDermott was asked if he expected Tyrod Taylor will practice tomorrow.
There's no timetable. You know, I'm not going to get into a timetable on if he practices, if he doesn't practice, what that means. Obviously, today he's not going to practice. Nate will get the reps. Joe will also work it.
But would you be comfortable with still starting Tyrod if he didn't practice through the week?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll take it one day at a time.
Sean McDermott not committing to, the old question, well, does he have to practice Thursday? Does he have to practice Thursday, Friday? I don't blame him for not putting himself in a box. We'll see how it plays out, I think.
Don't want to put yourself in a box. He has already stated that if Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's going to start. You know, so Tyrod Taylor this week, even if he doesn't practice this week, he's going to get all the mental reps. You know, they're not going to run a whole new offense. So, for the most part, he knows the offense. And you want to make sure that your quarterback, your starting quarterback, is up to speed and everything. He has everything he needs to do. And timing-wise, all of that stuff for the week. You know, but Tyrod Taylor is a veteran, you know, and so you'd have to expect that he would be able to get himself ready. If he's healthy enough to play, he'd be able to get himself ready mentally to go into this game and play against a defense that really isn't that good of a defense. But at the same time, it's hard to do sometimes, you know, when you haven't practiced all week. He got hurt in the game, and, you know, there might be some rust. If he's healthy enough to go on Sunday but doesn't practice this week, there could be some real rust in that game, you know. And so that's something that we got to look for first off to see if he's going to practice this week.
Let's take a look and a listen to Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. He is standing by live inside the Ad Pro Sports Training Center where the early portion of practice is just underway. Chris, what do you see from the quarterback position in there today?
Right now you've got Nate Peterman and Joe Webb rotating through on the reps here, and that's kind of what Coach said was going to be the case here. I mean, it was a situation where, you know, Peterman's got to get the first team reps for the most part because you got to get him ready in the event that he has to play. Joe Webb taking the backup reps. You kind of wonder, because of what Coach said, got to rotate him in. You're wondering if that's to have him replicate some of the plays you may want to run this week with Tyrod in there. So he's kind of more of a Tyrod-type player in terms of skill set. You wonder if that's why he's being rotated in there or if it's just to get backup reps.
Yeah, Chris, you'd have to imagine that Joe Webb is going to not only get, you know, backup reps or replicate what Tyrod would run, but also run the scout team as, you know, they have to have a quarterback running the scout team that's kind of like Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, and I asked Coach specifically if Joe was going to run the scout team reps this week. I was assuming as much, but he kind of left it up in the air as to whether that was going to happen or not. So I don't know what kind of division of duties they're planning to have this week. I guess it's kind of up in the air to a certain extent, but I got to believe Peterman's going to get all the first team stuff, and Webb will, in fact, run the scout team reps. I don't know why he was cryptic there. Maybe he's trying to maintain some level of competitive advantage and leave things up in the air, knowing Joe did get some reps at quarterback last week against the Patriots. Maybe he's trying to give Chuck Pagano and the Colts coaching staff a little bit of pause as to whether Webb might have some more duties this week in the scope of the offense.
Chris, from a strictly cosmetic standpoint, I got to ask, green jerseys for the quarterbacks? That's because,
I was thinking the same thing.
Because they're wearing the Reds, the color rush uniforms, the rest of the offense. Is that right?
Yeah, that's kind of how it's looking this week. The offense every week is being outfitted in practice with what the team will be wearing on Sunday, and this is the color rush game, so the team will be wearing red on red. So usually the quarterbacks wear the red jersey, which typically symbolizes the non-contact players because you never want your quarterbacks getting hit in practice. But this week it's green. Let's just hope that defensive ends don't see that as a green light to hit them.
It's the Christmas colors, Chris, the Christmas colors. Chris, now, you know, I know people want to really know about, and I know we're going to get the calls today on Brandon Riley. What should we expect out of Brandon Riley this week?
Well, it's a kid that's really worked hard, and I think he's kind of a poster child for what Coach McDermott wants out of his players each and every week. Granted, he's been on the practice squad since the start of the year, but I think the approach that he's taken is what Coach McDermott was getting at even in the press conference when he was asked about him. Kid's put his nose to the grindstone. Naturally, he was disappointed that he didn't make the 53-man roster after a strong camp and preseason. The coaching staff obviously felt he wasn't ready to handle the week-to-week pro grind in terms of playing games and working against NFL defenses. But, you know, they feel he's made the strides that he needed to make through the course of this regular season, serving on the practice squad, serving on scout team, and has earned the opportunity to get a spot on the active roster with Jordan Matthews going on injured reserve.
Riley has made a move now up to the roster, Chris, but I think of greater import might be the possible return of Kelvin Benjamin. What do you see from Kelvin Benjamin out there?
Looks to be favoring the leg a little bit here as he's going through the individual position drills, and that would be his right leg, and there seems to be a little bit of a hitch in his step here in the early going, and that's understandable. He's probably got to knock a little rust off here. Hasn't been moving like this in a football setting for a little bit of time. Speed is not his game. So, suddenness and burst is not something that you necessarily have to have from him. I think, you know, his game is post-up game. I mean, he's like a guy in the low post in basketball. He's just got to get a body on a DB and then box him out from the football, and he can still be an effective player for you. Obviously, he's got to get down the field, too. But getting in and out of breaks, I don't think that's going to be happening with any degree of suddenness from him, at least here on Wednesday. Hopefully he can progress as the week moves along.
Well, they need him, Chris. I mean, with Jordan Matthews going to IR late yesterday, they need Kelvin Benjamin. They need all as many hands, healthy hands as they can get for this game, right, moving down this home stretch here.
Right, and it was evident to me with Jordan Matthews that he was battling through a knee injury the last few weeks, and it was not responding. It wasn't getting better. And you could see it just by the way he was running routes. He was just unable to get separation in any capacity against defensive backs in the time that he did return to the field dealing with this knee injury. So why not give a guy like Brandon Riley a chance, who is a little bit more of a sudden burst type of player? He gets in and out of his breaks pretty quick, has a knack for using his body to create space between himself and the defender, you know, with a shoulder lean and then coming away and making space for himself. And that's something that's been sorely lacking in this receiving core the last 2 weeks.
Chris, what about, injury news on the defensive side of the ball? Guys who came out of last week's a little bit banged up. What are we looking at this week?
Yeah, Eddie Yarborough was not supposed to practice today anyway, but he was out here for warm-ups and stretch, and I'm trying to see down at the far end of the field if he is participating in individual position drills here. And it looks like he is. He is over there. Working through them. He's not the first guy in line. He's probably last, but looks like he's trying to take a stubborn approach with his injury, which has not been disclosed. I guess we'll find that out when the Wednesday injury report is revealed post-practice to see what he is, in fact, dealing with. His availability is going to be important this week, though, because, you know, Shaq Lawson is on IR. So, you know, you're down in numbers there. Yes, they've added Cap Cappy up from the practice squad to help fill that void in terms of numbers. But I got to believe in terms of reps, you know, it's going to be Ryan Davis, Eddie Yarborough, you know, and Jerry Hughes, and then Cappy will fill in and give guys a break where he can. But it's a guy that's relatively new to the scheme. I mean, he only signed to the practice squad on November 21st, so we're talking 3 weeks that he's been here. I can't see him getting a ton of time, even in the rotational system that Leslie Frazier runs.
Also on defense, Chris, what can you tell us about Tre'Davious White? He was scheduled to be limited in practice today, huh?
Right. So he went through stretch. He's out here, but he is still in the concussion protocol. And so just so fans don't get confused, you can be in the concussion protocol and you can participate in practice. Where he is on the spectrum of the return to participation protocol is stage four. There are only five stages. He's in stage four now. That's when they can get up back on the practice field in a non-contact capacity and do position-type drills. So I would anticipate that after this individual position drill portion of practice, that he'll probably step to the side and not participate in any one-on-one type stuff, any team segments, because he still has a couple of test hurdles to clear in the concussion protocol. Now, if he comes through this activity today, which is a form of exertion, and none of the symptoms return, concussion-like symptoms return, and he passes the tests that are part of the protocol, well, then things are looking up and he has a real chance to play this week. But there is always the chance after exertion like this on the practice field that concussion symptoms return. And then, unfortunately, if that proves to be the case, you have to hit the reset button and he starts the protocol over again.
Chris, one last name, and I know you got to go quickly, but Nick O'Leary, is he out there today?
Yes, he is out here. He is participating. We'll see if he's a full participant or a limited participant. Coach did not mention him today among the list of injured or nicked up players. So the anticipation is he will be a full participant. And he just caught a post pattern here, an individual from Nate Peterman, and looked pretty good in doing so. It doesn't appear to be favoring his back, which is his injury. So hopefully missing last week's game did him a world of good. So he'll be able to participate fully here in practice and get through the week with no ill effects and be back in the lineup on Sunday.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this question to help us launch our Twitter poll before we let you go. So there's this influx of talent returning to the Buffalo offense and players who have not played a prominent role yet. I wonder which of those underutilized players who've not played a prominent role yet this year will have the biggest impact in the Bills' offense for the last four games of the season. What do you think? We put up Brandon Riley as a choice, Kelvin Benjamin as a choice, Joe Webb is a choice, or somebody else. If you had to pick the people who really haven't done much on offense yet, who do you think will have the biggest impact in the final quarter of the season coming up?
Well, I mean, it's hard to pin one guy down only because we don't know what the availability of Benjamin's going to be, and we don't know how much playing time Riley's going to get, even though he is up and on the active roster. But what the heck, I'll go with Riley. I'll go with the wild card here and say, you know, maybe he can do something, make a few plays through the course of the last 4 weeks and really kind of show this coaching staff something and convince them that he's a guy that they want to re-sign as a reserve future free agent, which typically happens right at the end of the season in January.
All right. All right, Chris, thanks. Thanks for checking in.
You got it.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com on the practice field inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. Yeah, that's our Twitter poll, and you got to get involved in, if you'd like, from the comfort of your own home. Which underutilized player so far this season is going to have the biggest impact in the Bills' offense the last four games of the year? Yeah, it's a speculative question. Chris, it's not like he was reluctant to commit. But we put up a couple of choices there. Brandon Riley, just called up to the 53-man roster yesterday. Kelvin Benjamin, who's only played, less than five quarters of football since being acquired back on the Halloween. Joe Webb, who had the big prominent role to play on offense this past Sunday, or somebody else. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. The underutilized, the unsung player from the offense who is going to have the biggest impact in the offense the last four games of the year. I'm going with Kelvin Benjamin, Donald. Like 45% of our respondents are so far. The guy's played less than five quarters. 45 snaps. Mm-hmm. Played 41 snaps, I believe, against the Saints, and then just four and then he got hurt in Los Angeles against the Chargers. I think he's got a lot to offer. Yes, he needs to be healthy. I think they're moving forward, hoping that he gets through practice today and is healthy. But I do believe Kelvin Benjamin has a lot to offer this offense, and I hope it starts this week.
You know, I don't see really Kelvin Benjamin. First of all, it depends on who's playing quarterback. All right, if Tyrod Taylor is playing quarterback, I don't see Kelvin Benjamin being a huge, huge part of the offense just because he hasn't been here, and Tyrod likes to throw to guys that he's used to throwing to. So I don't see him being a huge part of it if Tyrod is the quarterback. If Peterman is the quarterback, then Kelvin Benjamin could be a big part of the offense. But ultimately, you're talking about a guy with a meniscus, you know, and I don't. He's still a little gimpy as you watch him out there. So I don't know how effective and how much he'll really, truly play in the game. I think I'd have to go with Chris on this in the wild card, especially if Nate Peterman is the quarterback, and go with Brandon Riley, you know. And I think Brandon Riley obviously showed people a lot in the spring and in the summer. But you have, if Nate Peterman is the quarterback, you have Brandon Riley. Both of those guys have worked scout team together all year, you know, and that goes a long way in a game, you know, as we saw with Tyrod Taylor and Deontay Thompson. So I think it truly comes down to who's playing quarterback as to which one of these guys will have a big impact.
So Peterman would favor Riley because he's got the experience with him, scout team experience, that sort of thing?
Yeah, okay. I think so. When you work with a guy like that, you know how he likes to run routes, you know. I mean, it really does work like that. That's why Deontay Thompson, when he got here, was able to connect with Tyrod Taylor so fast because those guys had worked scout team together and trained together in the off seasons and stuff like that. So these two guys had been on scout team all year together, working together, probably talking trash. So we got to kill the defense today together. You know, I've actually, when I spoke to the rookies, those guys sat together, you know, so I know that they're friends. And so, you know, with all of that being said, if he's the quarterback and Brandon Riley gets in the game, I expect to see him actually go to him a little bit.
What do you think? Give us a call. The lines were open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Which underutilized player has a chance to be the hero for the offense moving forward, to be you know, play a big role moving forward? Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The practice report from Chris Brown, and let's go through the list of participants, non-participants today. According to head coach Sean McDermott, Tyrod Taylor, no practice today and no timetable on when he might practice with his knee. Travis Cadet, Eddie Yarbrough, John Miller, all of them out today. Limited work today for Tre'Davious White, and Chris Brown talked about him and the limited work he was getting in the early portion of practice today. Offensive lineman Cordy Glenn, limited work. That is a step up from where he was over the last couple of weeks. He was a non-participant for most of the last couple of weeks, and McDermott said that is a step in the right direction for Cordy Glenn. Limited work today for Charles Clay, as has been the case for a couple of weeks. Limited work for Kelvin Benjamin. Leonard Johnson, limited. Mike Tolbert, limited. And that is the injury update. We'll get the official injury report after practice, which is probably about at least 2 hours away. On the show today, coming up at 1 o'clock, Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Fame running back, makes his regular weekly appearance with us, 1 o'clock today. Coming up after that, we will hear from Brandon Riley, just added to the active roster late yesterday. He'll be in studio with us after practice as he comes off the practice field. And, of course, your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. What do you think? Which newcomer, although they're not really newcomers, but which newer addition to the Buffalo offense has a chance to have the biggest impact on the rest of the season, the four games that remain? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Let's work in a call here from Tom in West Seneca. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome. You're on the show with us.
John, Don, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm a 10-6 guy. Remember me? I really believe that we can be 10-6. Of course, if we should, by some fluke, lose to the Colts on Sunday, I think the playoff dreams are over. That being said, on the Twitter poll, I'm going to go with Peterman if he starts. And I have to comment on the New England game. Before the game, I said to myself, self, if the Bills can score 3 touchdowns and a field goal, we will win the game. And sure enough, that would have happened, but we would have won 24-23. But that didn't happen.
Not even close.
commentary on the late hit by Gronkowski, that was one of the cheapest shots I've ever seen in the NFL. So flagrant. A one-game suspension? That's pathetic. Should have been four games and a hefty fine. Doesn't that clown know that you hit somebody like that, they could be very seriously injured, paralyzed, or whatever? This NFL better wake up and come down harder on these cheap shot guys. That's pretty much it, guys.
Okay, Tom, thanks. What did you get? You probably dove right into Rob Gronkowski yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, we talked about it.
What'd you think about one game?
That was, I mean, well, he got the same suspension as Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, and it's like he actually made a play within the confines of the game, which the hit to me didn't even look that bad. Rob Gronkowski totally after the play decides to, you know, dive with his elbow, with a huge pad on his elbow, Barry Bonds type of pad, right into Tre'Davious White's, you know, back of his head. I mean, you could truly paralyze somebody like that and totally change his life. You know, a man who has a kid, a girlfriend, I believe. Yeah, I mean, you can change his life like that. So I think he should have been suspended. First of all, he should have been ejected from that game,
yeah,
was my thought. Secondly, he should have been suspended for multiple games, you know. And then if you want to try to reduce it from there, then whatever. If they want to reduce it down, but at least suspend him for, you know, 2-3 games and then give him the opportunity to reduce it down or something like that.
Yeah, I was hoping for at least two. I think one's kind of light. I do think that Pittsburgh-New England game coming up next week is a factor. You know, the mm-hmm. league knows he's one of the stars on the Patriots.
That is terrible. So, if that's the case, it's like, okay, so all of this talk about safety is, what are we talking about here?
That's right.
All you're caring about is the ratings. And we all know, you know, it's ultimately it's a business and you want your ratings to be up. But come on, man. He could have seriously injured. He's like 270, 6'6 or something like that, 270. And Tre'Davious is like 5'11, 6', 190, soaking wet. You know, you could have truly changed his life. And you're going to suspend him for one game. I hope that's not the case.
That's the only explanation I can come up with for one game. The one-game suspension came out late Monday, reinforced yesterday when Gronkowski's appeal was denied. And we can talk about that if you like as well. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Your thoughts on which Buffalo Bills newcomer to the offense, and not exactly newcomer, but new additions over the next few weeks, who will have the biggest impact in the remaining 4 weeks of the season? Give us a call. We'll talk about it when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Donald Jones, live from One Bills Drive. Welcome to the show. Happy to have you with us here today. And what's turning into a snowy day here in Orchard Park? You all set for the weather, Donald? You worried?
I am worried.
What are you worried about? It's going to snow. It's going to get a little cold.
To be honest with you, I was supposed to be going home Friday.
Okay.
So I hope that doesn't put a damper on my trip home. I'm going to be very upset. That just sucks.
It'll be fine by Friday. They plow. They ice. You drive, you're good.
I know, but I feel like once it starts snowing here, it never stops. You know,
you know that's not true. How long have you been here? I know that's not the case.
It doesn't stop until June.
Well, no, now you're exaggerating. It will stop. It'll go. It's on and off.
Oh man,
come on, you know the drill.
As long as everything is cool by Friday, I'm all right.
Okay, all right.
That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, don't be worried. It's fine. You'll be all right.
All right.
A little snow in the forecast. We'll see how it turns out. Sometimes these forecasts are a little bit off.
See?
What's your forecast for the rest of this Bills season? And is there somebody who has not played a prominent role offensively yet who you think will have a prominent role to play? That's our Twitter poll. Is it Kelvin Benjamin? Is it Brandon Riley, Joe Webb, somebody else we're not thinking of? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550, or you can vote on our Twitter poll. Do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let's take a call here from Jason in Cherry Creek. Go ahead, Jason. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Sure. I just wanted to comment. I'm excited about Riley because when a guy's got to, you know, try to earn a job, they play so hard. And Peterman, I am a fan of. I hated the catastrophe face, you know what I mean, in the Chargers. But, like, maybe Donald could answer this for me. When you switch quarterbacks and have a different guy throwing to you, there was a lot of passes that went incomplete that really hit the guys right in the hands or was put in the right spot. You know what I mean? Is it different, like, to get used to that timing on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot different. You're talking about – just think about the difference in the timing of both of those quarterbacks, right? You have Tyrod Taylor, who typically you're looking at Tyrod Taylor, who throws you the ball, you see it come all the way out of his hands, you know, just because of the way that he plays the game and when he throws the ball. As where you have Nate Peterman, who's throwing the ball sometimes before you even come out of your break, you know. So it's a big difference in you trying to focus in on the ball when you have a quarterback that's, you know, two quarterbacks that are totally different in their timing and when they're releasing the ball.
And is there anything about velocity, spin on the ball that would be different?
I mean, velocity and spin on the ball can be a lot different. Now, Tyrod Taylor has a lot of velocity on his passes, yeah. You know. Nate Peterman, because he actually gets the ball out of his hands fast, it looks like he has a lot of velocity on his ball. I can't really tell difference in that. But there is some quarterbacks, though. There are some quarterbacks that, you know, I remember speaking to Stevie Johnson about Colin Kaepernick, and Kaepernick didn't really take anything off the ball when he was throwing, you know, different slants and different things really close. So certain quarterbacks have a lot more touch, and if you remember, Kelvin Benjamin said he throws those floaters, you know, and Tyrod Taylor does – float the ball in there. Even though some throws he'll gun it in there, most of his throws he's floating it in there, giving guys an opportunity to catch the ball.
What about location? In the back of your mind as a receiver, are you aware that some of one quarterback's throws might not be as accurate as somebody else's? Like, you might have to be ready to go somewhere to get it?
I mean, you should always be ready for that, but you know, just from seeing these guys in practice, like, yeah, he's a little bit off sometimes, you know. So you still got to run your route the right way. You just have to adjust to whoever's throwing you the ball. Some of the best quarterbacks are off sometimes, you know. Some others are off a little bit more, you know. But you can't really let that creep into your mind, because then you'll be reluctant to go across the middle or something like that. He might light me up. He might set me up for a kill shot, you know. And if you do that, then you get the alligator arms. You don't want to jump up and get the ball. So you just got to run your route and hope that he throws it where you need it to be. If not, I got to adjust and make the catch.
Here's a call here from Fred in Connecticut. Go ahead, Fred. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, love you guys. So,
thank you.
A couple things. The first one, I think I have to agree with Donald as far as newcomers. It's all going to have to depend on the quarterback. So that's what's going to determine who does what. But what I was calling about was a touch base on the Tyrod situation. And just to get you guys' take on it, different quarterbacks, they operate in different systems. And we've seen time and time again where a quarterback will be labeled not a good quarterback and then all of a sudden get put in another system and he flourishes. With Tyrod, is it really just Tyrod? Or is it coaching? You know, is it the fact that he's just not in a good system? You know, because I truly believe – if you put Tyrod in the right system, he could be an elite quarterback. I mean, say what you want. I mean, he showed flashes. If he's showing flashes, then you put him in a system where he can actually connect with. I mean, I think he could be phenomenal. But I know, I just wanted to know what you guys' take on that was.
I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about it. You know, I'm not sure if you change systems, if he would be a lot better. You know, he's been in a couple different systems now. We've seen the same thing from Tyrod. And for me, I don't know if it's the system as much as it is him not throwing the ball, getting the ball out of his hands quicker, him not being on time, him sometimes being off the mark, you know. I don't know if the system could change those things right there, because I think that is just in his mind. Or I don't know if the system changes the fact that I don't know if I want to make that throw. I might throw an interception, you know, and throw it into tight windows and different things like that. I don't know if the system changes that. I think these are things that, you know, he's been trained to do since he was younger, you know, and that's the way he plays the game.
We are 11 starts into Tyrod Taylor's this year, his tenure this year. Mm-hmm. I think I've come around to the conclusion that this system, what they're asking him to do, is not as Tyrod friendly as what they did the last couple of years, right? Some of his strengths are sort of muted in this system.
Yeah, especially the run game.
Yeah, and also the deep passing game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was writing stuff today for the website. The Bills now, over the last 5 weeks, have completed, I believe, 3 passes of 25 yards or longer.
That's anemic.
Yeah, and it hurts your run game, too, when you don't stretch the field.
When you don't stretch the field, that just puts so much pressure on every other part of your offense. I mean, teams do not fear you're going to throw the ball down the field. And until you show us that on a consistent basis, you're going to take shots down the field and connect with it, we're going to stack the box and stop LeSean McCoy because you don't have a true dynamic receiver that can get down the field that can threaten what we are doing vertically, you know. And so, and until you do that, we're going to just stack the box on you.
Only five passes, I believe, completed to receivers last Sunday. I think the Patriots only had four. And they just are underutilized, the Bills receivers, you know. And that's not a play-calling thing. That's a design of the offense thing. And certainly I don't think it plays into Tyrod's strengths.
I don't think the system necessarily plays into his strengths. I think there's a lot of different things that have hampered this offense. You have the system and the quarterback in the system, and then you have just the quarterback style of play, you know. And then you have the fact that the offensive line – has not played well in the run game or even in the passing game a lot of times, you know. But then you have the fact that, you know, Tyrod doesn't get the ball out faster, which makes the offensive line look bad sometimes, you know. So it's like a revolving door of different things that aren't really working in this offense's favor.
Yeah.
And because of that, you have the offense that you have right now, which is not good.
Here's Jesse in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jesse. You're on the air with us.
You know what? This is Jesse from the parking lot on my lunch break.
Hey, Jesse.
Say this. Donald, I'm usually with you, but you being a receiver, and I ain't getting on you too hard about this, you'll keep saying that he's not getting the ball out fast enough. But I'm going to say this. Sammy Watkins, all offseason, they had an interview with him at the beginning of the Bills season. He was saying that the hardest thing for him to learn as a receiver was not route running, was not catching the ball. It was the line of scrimmage. Getting open to run your route. I think that our receivers, our young receivers, with the fact that our coach took away our veteran receivers who can get off the line, really affected Tyrod getting that ball out because they're losing the battle at the line of scrimmage. And I think that goes back to the receivers not getting up off of the line of scrimmage. And actually, to answer the question of what differences I would like to see as far as coaching-wise, I would say the coaches. Hopefully the coach calls plays like, just an example, McCoy had 30 yards on six carries on the first drive of the game. We get in on the 8-yard line, first down. Instead of running the ball, we decide to pass the ball. Mm-hmm. Things there I want to see change. I want to see more of a commitment to the run and doing what's best instead of trying to show us how much smarter we are. But I think one of the big points with Tyrod is the receivers are not getting off the line of scrimmage. And how much practice goes into that, Darnell, off the line of scrimmage? Not just route running, but for our young receivers, getting off the line of scrimmage.
That's a really good question, Jesse. I think he makes a good point, though.
I mean, I was talking about this yesterday in the barbershop, you know, and they're not getting off the line of scrimmage. They're not creating true separation. Now, you don't need much separation in this league. And that just comes down to the quarterback throwing it in there because most guys are not that open in this league. But, yeah, they're having trouble at the line of scrimmage. They're having trouble at the top of the route and creating that separation, you know. So you can add that, Jesse, to the list of things that I just put in that whole revolving door, a bunch of things that are not working in this offense's favor. They really don't have anything going for them right now, you know. And so because of that, you have the offense the way it is. But in terms of your question, how much practice goes into that? They practice this stuff every day. You know, I mean, they do different drills to work on it every day. But ultimately, you have to work on this stuff yourself, and the game has to slow down for you, and you have to just understand it. So a guy like Zay Jones, in the offseason, he needs to go and work with some bump and run type of corners, you know, in the offseason, and just work with those guys so that they can teach him, look, this is what I'm trying to do to you as a corner, and this is how you can – counter what I'm trying to do to you. And that's how Zay Jones will learn, or whoever else is a young receiver will learn how to get off of this bump and run and how to create separation. You know, playing receiver is an art. It is. You have to learn how to first get off the line of scrimmage. Secondly, you have to, and especially in this league, if you can't get off the line of scrimmage, there's a problem. Secondly, you have to be able to change speeds and do different things to make the DB think you're doing something else. If you don't know that art, you can't play receiver in this league.
Whenever you say you were at the barbershop, I find myself staring at your hair saying, oh, you got a nice cut there.
Yeah.
Was it good? Were you happy with the cut?
Oh, I'm happy with the cut, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I had to dip out of the barbershop because they started getting real loud about – when I get there, I mean,
yeah.
The arguments get so loud.
That was my next question. What was the funniest thing that went
on? Oh, man, they just argue about the Bills.
Really?
Yes, they argue about the Bills all day.
And they take sides?
Yeah, you have – I mean, he has like five chairs on both sides, so you have about five barbers on both sides. And you'll have a couple on this side going at a couple on this side, and then they just get louder and louder. And I'm like, oh, man. And they're like, hey, Donald, what you think about this? And I'm
you settle all the arguments, Riley? Or?
No, I try to say nothing. Look, they had this running joke because I actually fell asleep in the barbershop, right? I fell asleep. Now, they're arguing.
While they're cutting your hair or while you're waiting?
No, I was waiting. Yeah. And he has this massage chair in there, right? So I sat in the chair, turned on the massage chair, and I'm getting a massage. They're arguing back and forth, and I fell asleep, right? So there's a guy who's trying to talk to me, but I'm asleep. And they felt like I was faking sleep so that he would I wouldn't have to answer. Yeah, he's like, see, look, he just faked sleep on you. I'm like, man, chill out. I was really asleep.
Can I come down there with you?
You got to come down there, man. Kenny would love it.
Would I be welcome?
Yes, I'm telling you, Kenny would love it.
It sounds really funny.
It's hilarious. I mean, they go back and forth. Like, Tyrod is this, and this. Oh, our receivers can't get open. What are you talking about? It's not all on Tyrod. It's funny.
Do they watch the show?
Some of them do, or they listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Kenny and those guys, yeah.
All right. Well, if they're watching, we salute you guys. I got to get down there. We're going to take a break. We got more to come as we continue on with Barbershop 3. John Murphy and Donald Jones from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today. Thurman Thomas stopping by at 1 o'clock. We'll get Brandon Riley, the people's choice. Never, ever has there been a practice squad player with more fans than Brandon Riley.
You know how many fans I actually saw on Twitter last night? Like, yay, Brandon Riley.
Savior.
Yes. That's he's the one that's getting us into the playoffs.
He was born in a manger out in Nebraska. He has come to save the Bills. No. I hope he plays well. He got a lot of praise, really, from Sean McDermott. I'm not sure if we have that soundbite ready or not, but Sean McDermott today was asked about Brandon Riley, what he's seen of Brandon Riley through the first couple of months. And when Brandon joins us at a little bit later on in the show, we'll talk with him. We'll hear from him about that and talk with Brandon Riley about that. Let's hear from you. Who among these newcomers, who is the one who's going to make an impact down the stretch? Keith calling from Lackawanna. Hello, Keith.
Hey, yes, John. Jones.
What's up?
O'Reilly.
Riley. No O.
Oh, Riley. I'm sorry. Not O'Reilly.
Yep.
Riley and Cap are going to be the unsung heroes of this week. Why? One, like you said, Riley has that step coming off the line. And two, that defensive end Cap has something to prove. He's on his fourth team. He hasn't gotten a chance to make it to a season game. And I think we're coming to the Bills. This is his opportunity to prove that he has what it takes to pressure. Now, yes, he might have a limited time in snaps, but I think he makes up for them limited snap time, and he's going to prove a point out there.
Hey, Keith.
And, yes.
Is that the real reason, or is it because of his name, Cap Cappy?
Cap. Yeah, Sack Cap. I'll take that, too. the perfect name for the rest. You know, keep him, you know, for four more years if we can. if he can prove a point out there on the field. And that's not the only reason. He probably got a big upside to his game. That's why teams picked him. But, you know, obviously he had guys in front of him that, you know, were a little bit better, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But right now he has a shot to do something. You're going against a team in Indianapolis Colts where you have the opportunity to showcase. Now it's the NFL and every team's not just, you know, a crap team. But, you know, you have a chance to go against them because statistic-wise, they're not that great on the offensive line.
Yeah, the Colts have some issues.
Said whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Tyrod or Peterman, he has a weapon, and he has weapons. It's just you need to throw into those windows of opportunity to make these wide receivers catch balls.
Thanks, Keith. Cap Cappy signed to the active roster yesterday, just came to the practice squad a couple of weeks ago. 3 years in the NFL, Jaguars, Ravens, Falcons, Cardinals, Giants, so he's bounced around, played in college at the University of Akron. He'll wear number 75 Sunday. Of course, Cap Cappy, his real first name is not Cap.
Right.
And the Bills provided this information. His legal first name is Nordly, N-O-R-D-L-Y, which translates to mean strength in his family's native Haitian language. Mm-hmm. Nordly is his real name. No wonder he changed it, Nordly Cappy. But as you might imagine, his coach in Pop Warner football started calling him Cappy just because he didn't want to call him Nordly. and they shortened that up to Cap Cappy.
Cap Cappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. That's a cool name.
I mean, if he goes in there and truly balls out, you can see all the T-shirts.
Yeah. You know. How about Caps?
Cappy Caps. He can go. Cappy Caps.
Cappy and Brandon Riley added to the roster yesterday. Let's go to Al in New Jersey. Hello, Al.
Hey, how we doing? It's my contention that Woods and Watkins couldn't wait to get out of here. To get to a team where the quarterback could get them the ball.
Watkins was traded, so he didn't have a voice in that.
Well, I bet you if you asked him, he would say he was such a classy receiver. Could you imagine if you had somebody like Terrell Owens on this team? He'd be screaming on the sidelines saying, please put somebody in that can throw the ball. And, you know.
And that's a good thing?
The secret's out. I mean, all you have to do as a defensive coordinator is say, this is how we're going to beat the Bills, fellas. Stop the run and keep Tyrod in between the tackles. Game one.
Mm. Well, six guys failed this year doing that, and six guys succeeded.
Yeah, yeah. You know, on another note, the Chiefs suspended Marcus Peters for throwing that flag.
The Chiefs did.
Yeah, the Chiefs suspended him. Andy Reid said he suspended him for throwing that flag up into the stands. Yeah. And this week against the Raiders.
Yeah, Chiefs kind of falling apart.
As you remember, earlier in the season with Marshawn Lynch, that whole thing happened with Marcus Peters.
Had that little scrap.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, that's hour one in the books. Thurman Thomas going to stop by in the next hour. Thurman made it through the snow or is on his way through the snow to join us here in studio. And the snow has picked up here in Orchard Park as we come to you live from New Era Field, where the Buffalo Bills are getting set to host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday at 1 o'clock. It'll be 23 degrees and some snow on the ground Sunday, we believe. Come on back, Thurman Thomas, when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network, sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills on the practice field inside the EdPro Sports Training Center as we speak. No practice for quarterback Tyrod Taylor today. No word from Sean McDermott on when he might be available. He's, of course, suffering with that knee injury from last Sunday. Also not practicing today, running back Travaris Cadet, defensive end Eddie Yarbrough, and offensive lineman John Miller. Limited practice today for cornerback Tre'Davious White. He remains in concussion protocol. Limited work for wide receiver Calvin Benjamin. The Bills are hoping that he comes back. Bills signed a couple of players yesterday, putting two players on injured reserve. They put Shaq Lawson and Jordan Matthews to IR and elevated two players from their practice squad to the active roster, including defensive end Cappy, who's bounced around the league and has played in four games in the NFL so far, and rookie Brandon Riley, who spent the entire season on Buffalo's practice squad so far this season after a strong training camp. Late yesterday, the NFL upheld Rob Gronkowski's one-game suspension for his hit against the Bills. It was upheld after an appeal. Gronkowski will miss Monday night's game against the Miami Dolphins. The one-game suspension of Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster has been upheld. He was suspended for Monday night's fourth quarter block on Bengals linebacker Vontez Burfict, who was in a defenseless position. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier is still in the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. A joint statement from Pittsburgh Medical Center Director David Okonkwo and the chief of neurosurgery there says Shazier has undergone a series of tests to evaluate his spine injury. Buffalo Sabres snapped a four-game losing streak with a win in Colorado last night. Evander Kane scored the game winner in the third period, a 4-2 Buffalo win. The Sabres will be back in action Friday night in Chicago. In college basketball tonight, St. Bonaventure travels to Canisius for the 166th edition of their rivalry, which started back in 1919-1920 season. Canisius with a brief two-game homestand, 7 o'clock tip-off tonight against the Bonnies. And the UB Bulls on the road at Delaware tonight, 7 o'clock tip there, the first ever trip to the University of Delaware for the UB Bulls. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Thurman Thomas joins us in our One Buffalo studio. Having braved the elements out there, how was the drive in, Thurman?
Oh, it's getting bad.
Is it?
Oh, it's getting
bad. Don't be alarmist here.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm looking for, like, texts from schools and I'm looking for a snow day.
I'm looking for that, too. You know, I got this at the school program. I'm hoping it's canceled.
Now that you said that, everybody will just assume that it is.
I know, but sheesh.
It's Buffalo. They think they got everything covered from the salt to the trucks, mm-hmm. So they're going to go all the way up until the last minute.
And you have adapted to the snow here, though. I think you kind of like it, right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I know he doesn't, but yeah. I love it here. I love this. I mean, you got the fires out in California right now.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
got
I definitely rather deal with snow than that. I mean, I feel bad for those people out there.
Yeah, the hurricanes year, in yeah. Florida and Texas. I mean, what's a little snow and a little cold weather?
Yeah. We don't even know if this is going to be a big storm.
Right? No, it's not. It's no. Fine. I expect it to probably be one in January or somewhere
yeah,
like that.
We'll get one.
Yeah.
We'll live. We all live through it.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Nah, he doesn't.
What are we doing with you, man?
I don't like it. I just don't like it.
I don't love it, but, I mean, it's a part of life here. Thurm, you and I enjoyed being with you last Thursday night. You and I did a Bill Speaker Series event at
right.
the History Museum where it was basically you and I between two ferns, right, sitting there talking. And
sitting there talking like old times.
It was kind of fun. I really enjoyed that.
It was Thursday. Fun, you know, because you get to kind of relive some yeah. of the stuff. And really, for me, it was good because, you know, the people wanted to know a lot of people didn't know about my childhood growing
right.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And then so when you get to talking about stuff, you're like, oh, I forgot I did that and who I mm-hmm. know and what school I went to and
yeah.
who I played against. It was actually a guy in the audience that I played against in high school.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah. so, yeah, you just got to reminisce a little bit about the good old days in high school and
yeah.
where you grew up mm-hmm. and you know, all the people that took care of you and who you went against
yeah.
and how did you keep Barry Sanders on the bench and all that type of stuff. So, no, it was great. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Me too. I'll do that with you anytime.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
But you're going to run – you got to come up with different things to talk about, though.
Well,
you
had no problem, things. Right?
I mean, I think we can get another 150 people or 200 people somewhere else that wasn't there that
wasn't
night.
There that
right,
night.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
About the same thing.
Right. You know, we can take it to, you know, Batavia or somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Take it on the road.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
You get a whole bus, tour bus.
Right, exactly.
Tour the whole Murph and state
Thurm.
Of New York.
Yeah. Murph and Thurm.
You know what was funny? We came out of it, and we both said to each other, I didn't know you were that funny. And I always knew you were pretty funny, but you said, I didn't know you were that funny, right?
Yeah, I didn't know you were that funny.
I'm not that funny.
I mean, I know you've said some things every now and then. I'm like, oh, that was funny. But you're like funny all the time.
Yeah, I pretty much am.
Yeah, you are.
Very immature.
So you and Tasker have a great time together.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, it helps to be immature. Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, in studio with us. The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter. At John Murphy Show. We got a call here, Donald, from Ray Lohman. You know him?
No.
He says he's one of the guys at the barbershop. Ray, are you on the line with us?
Murph, I'm here.
Hey, Ray, go ahead. Uh-oh. Donald's got a look on his face like I don't know what to expect here.
Yeah, the milkman, Donald Jones.
What's up, man? He's the one I argue with all the time. Look, he's the one that they thought I was fake sleeping because he was talking to me.
Ray, if it's any consolation, I think Donald falls asleep out here once in a while, too, on the show. I think I know what you mean.
Hey, Murph, actually, Donald was going to sleep on the help, not me, because we always have good talks at the barbershop.
What's up, Ray?
Legend.
What you got for us, man?
Hey, Murph.
Yeah, Ray.
Donald.
Yeah.
What's up?
My main thought is I'm still sick on the fact that we got rid of Sammy Watkins. Thurm, I talked to you at Sean's. Donald, I've been talking to you all season. How do we let a bona fide superstar get away?
Well, just to clarify, Ray, they didn't let him get away. They actively traded him away. And, you know, the reasons, and I appreciate what you're saying, what they were thinking was we might not be able to sign this guy next year. His foot is still in a question mark. We don't know if he'll hold up. And they wanted to move on. I think that's it. Now, we could argue. You could argue that maybe it was a bad call. But that's what the considerations
are. Well, Ray is going to argue with you.
Yeah. Go ahead and argue, Ray.
Murph, it was terrible. I mean, Jordan Matthews can't stay healthy. We get Kelvin Benjamin. He's down. If you look at the stats, Sammy has better stats across the board, better than all wide receivers put together.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, you can, I mean, now you can look back on it and definitely make a case for keeping Sammy Watkins. I mean, but.
Sammy didn't want to be traded. The Bills, as usual, wanting to be cheap. We're the farming system of the NFL, guys.
No, that's not true, Ray. And I don't think it was a question of being cheap. I think it was more a question of what the value would be for Sammy Watkins and where they were going to be at the end of the year and whether he would even sign here at the end of the year. I think that went into it. Fellas, anybody?
I'm sure that went into it. I'm just laughing because these are the things we argue. I mean, what he just said, I've heard him say those exact words verbatim in the barbershop. Is this the barbershop?
Well, the barbershop. Put my little two cents in.
Yes,
you know.
Please.
Yeah, I know you want me to. You know, from every indication that I get that, and that I know when I talk to people, I mean, hey, I loved Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
Great coming out of college. Like I say, couldn't stay healthy here. But some of the things that I'm not going to talk about here, that a lot of people don't know mm-hmm. that was going on in this building over
I
here.
Know.
And that's the thing that a lot of people don't know that are on the outside, because they're – there was a lot of talk about some of the stuff that Sammy did and some of the stuff that Sammy didn't do.
Right.
And so when you have that type of conversation and you have a coach that wants to come in and we're like, no, Sammy, you got to do everything. Mm-hmm. And it was a point, I think it got to a point where he was still kind of acting that way, because you look at the couple of coaches that he had here. Rex was pretty much going to let anybody do whatever they wanted to do. And McDermott came in here and just changed up everything. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't go toward being better every single day, trades happen.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, you're talking about on-field stuff, right? Not, you're not saying that there's something.
No, not off-field. Yeah. No, not off the field. I mean, he did stuff in the community and all that stuff. I'm talking about on the field inside this building here.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, I mean, Sammy Watkins is a star.
Yeah.
You know, potentially that dude can be a star, but I'm a big Robert Woods fan.
Right.
You know, and Robert Woods has turned into this year showing us what he could do. Really, if you throw him the ball, this dude can be a big-time receiver for you, you know. And so, for me, I was more in favor of keeping a Robert Woods than a Sammy Watkins, just because I know Robert Woods is a natural receiver, and he's typically on the field for you.
Right.
You know, I mean, he had some things that he dealt with last season, but everybody does that. But Robert Woods is available for you consistently.
And with Robert, though, it was money, right? I mean,
that's exactly what it was.
$8 million a year or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to money. Is he a number one? Was he here, Robert? No.
He wasn't here because that was one of the reasons why Robert, you know, even if they offered him the money, I don't know if he would have come back. And, you know, talking to him, he was, you know, he never knew if he was going to be a number one, you know, and especially with Sammy was still here.
Right.
He never knew. And he, you know, you want your shot to shine. You know, look, the money is one thing, but I want to catch some passes too. And he knew that if Sammy was here, Tyrod was going to throw him the ball, you know, especially on them deep routes, you know. So he wanted to get his chance to shine.
And he's shining right back at home, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's at home. He's at home. He got a young quarterback. He got a 31-year-old head coach that's innovative about every single thing that they do out there on offense. They got young Todd Gurley.
They got a squad.
They got a squad. What's the tight end? They got a tight end. I can't even think of his name.
I can't think of the tight end's name. But they got Robert Woods, Sammy, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, that's who it is, Cooper Kupp.
They got Tavon Austin, who's the gadget guy for them, punt returner, and Todd Gurley. And they got a good defense.
They got Wade coaching defense.
So, I mean, they got it all. And so you have two guys that were here that are fit into that offense right now.
Yeah.
How would they look in this offense right now?
Exactly.
Much different than they have the last couple of years? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so either. Yeah. I really don't think so.
I want to take one more call here. Gary in Buffalo. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'd like to comment about getting rid of Marcell Dareus. I think it was the biggest mistake ever. Ever since we got rid of him, the next game, I believe, was the Jets. We got crushed up the middle with the run game. Every team that's had a strong run game since has crushed us, and we haven't got anybody to complement to fill in that gap, and I think that's our biggest problem.
We're 12 weeks into the season, and we started the show talking about Sammy and Marcell.
Yeah,
what do you think?
And this guy, McDermott and Bean, and I think what Tasker said, they've made 6 trades since they've been here already.
Yeah.
It's time to stop talking about them, really. I mean, the guys that are not here for a reason. And I don't want to get up here and explain to everybody why that's not, but they're gone for a reason, okay? And I think we kind of should just drop it because they're not here anymore, and I don't think they're coming back.
There's also a sense I get from some of these calls
that
the season is over. Season's not over. As disappointing as the loss to New England was, 6-6, 4 games left, 3 games against teams with losing records. I say that every week. Right. You could almost see nine wins coming out of here without really stretching your imagination much. Mm-hmm. Nine wins, I think, would exceed most people's expectations, and nine wins might put you in the playoffs this year.
It might put you in the playoffs. I mean, really, realistically, what was the over and under for wins anyway this year?
I mean, I think we all said seven to nine wins. Well, we think, said 7-9
yeah,
wins.
I thought
yeah,
seven
some
nine.
People who were 1-2,
yeah.
4-5.
Right.
You get one guy that calls us, he's always been saying 10 or 11.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still saying we're going to get 10 wins. but, you know, I think realistically, at least us up here have thought 7-9 wins. Now,
right.
It just so happened that the AFC doesn't have a lot of good teams in it, you know, so you're going to have a couple teams that are right around that mark trying to get into the playoffs the last week of the season.
But the season's not over, Thurman, right? I mean, you've seen seasons that four games is an eternity in this league. I think there's a lot that could happen still.
It's a lot of football to be played.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, they're still in the hunt or whatever, but, you know, they've played 12 games. And you know what? Even though the season is, like, on the brink, these guys still have to go out there and do a job, man.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to go out there and do a job. I mean, everybody's been asking for Brandon
Riley.
Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's getting his opportunity,
yeah.
Okay? Now, if he comes out and just lights it up on fire, people are going to be like, well, why didn't we activate him week one?
Yeah.
You know? So,
and totally forget about the LA game.
Right, totally forget about all that. But you know what? It's an opportunity for him. I had a chance to meet him a couple of weeks ago. After a game at dinner with Kyle Williams, and great guy. Just, you know, he said, yeah, I'm still on the scout team, just looking for an opportunity. You know, I work hard every single day on the scout team. I do what I'm supposed to be told, and hopefully, you know, hey, I hope he does well. Mm-hmm. I hope he does well. I hope the team does well.
Yeah.
You know, they play the Colts. That should be a win.
Yeah. It should be a win.
It should be a win. So now you're looking at, what, 7-6?
Yep.
You're looking at 7-6. You're still in. Obviously, you're going to need some help. And a lot of different scenarios and what everybody's been talking about, but hey, these next two wins, they can win these next two games,
mm-hmm.
and they should be 8-6
after
2 weeks.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I think if you're 8-6 and
in the last 2 weeks of the season, I mean that changes your outlook on everything. If you're 8-6, obviously you got to go to New England, but at least your mentality is different.
It's different.
Yeah.
Than to go in there on a three-game losing streak or something
exactly.
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or even 1-1.
1-1.
That just would not feel good. So,
right.
Hey, come in, get this win the next 2 weeks, let's go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And hope Baltimore or Tennessee falls apart.
Yep.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, the Hall of Fame running back. You're welcome to join us at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Thurman, the Gronkowski hit, the one-game suspension. What did you think of it, and what do you think of the discipline handed out by the NFL?
Shall I read that group text that when we talked about Tasker and Jim and Bruce and Darrell? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They were pretty upset about the one game. Thought it should have been two.
Yeah.
At least two. Yeah. You know, every time I watch this play, it just aggravates me that a guy of that caliber who hasn't never been in any trouble.
Right.
But does something like that. That right there was, ooh.
You probably know Rob. You probably crossed paths with him.
I crossed paths with him and his family.
Right.
A couple of times. Yeah, with Gordy and all of them. Yeah, but.
Good guys.
Great guys.
Yeah.
But you were just, what happened at that moment? You know, and then after the fact that he said that, you know, he was frustrated, he was being held or whatever. He's been in the league, what, 8 or 9 years?
Yeah.
And he's been held ever since he's been in the league.
He does a little pushing and shoving of his own, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so to have at that point 133 yards with 4 minutes to go in the game and you do something like this, talking about you're frustrated afterwards.
Right.
And there's been clips of him going into off the field, doing this with the New England crowd. They have a picture of him in the tunnel with his tongue out.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you kidding me? Are you – the whole factor in this that Belichick and the Patriots know he was wrong, the next series, he was not out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was not out there. So they know full right that he was wrong about that. And it should have been more than two games. This guy here, Tre'Davious White, could have been paralyzed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in concussion protocol still.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even sure if he's going to play. And you're telling me one game? No. That's – boy, let me tell you something.
You could have changed a man's life.
Yeah, you could have changed a man's life. And I tell you one, and now you're looking at, let's say the Bills win these next two games, go to New England. Anything close to Gronk, that's what they're going to be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be looking for one of our players.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, I see what Coach McDermott is talking about, where you know, he saw it differently or whatever. Now, I did see Jordan Poirier come and push Gronkowski. I saw Amendola and Micah Hyde get into it, too. Yeah. So, hey, there's – man, that's a trip that I might make down to New England. Yeah,
for what? What do you just want to see?
I just want to see. I just want to see how the reaction is going to be on the field for everybody.
Christmas Eve in Foxborough with Thurman.
I can deal with that.
We talked yesterday about the hit by Juju Smith-Schuster on Vontaze Burfict, and it's not something that you will understand if you haven't played the game. You know, if you've played the game. And you're out there with these guys. You're in the meeting rooms every day with the same guys. You're on the field, you know, bleeding together, crying together, whatever it is. You go out together. All of this stuff. I mean, you truly are brothers. And Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster are close now. And so he watched his brother take that hit a couple years ago. You put him out, you know. And so I'm sure those guys have been honestly waiting for an opportunity for a clean hit on Vontaze Burfict. And guess what? He had his opportunity and he took it, you know? So you had a lot of people who said it was a bad look on the league, you know, because he stood over him and all of that stuff. But you're playing with emotion out there on that field, man. And it's not something that you can understand if you've never been out there and played, especially at this level.
Vontaze would have took the hit.
Yeah. What? If it was flipped, he would have hit somebody.
He would have hit somebody.
Yeah, I got to say, and I wasn't here yesterday, but I have no problem with that block by Juju
Smith-Schuster.
I thought it was a good, hard block. There was really no real contact with the head, maybe a little high, but I didn't have a big problem with it.
Keep your head on the swivel.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
You're on the field. I mean, he's been hitting people like that his whole career.
I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, keep your head on the swivel.
I'm telling you.
Keep your head on the swivel.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do. It only takes a second to look.
And that slows you down a little bit. That's the objective. It slows you down, but let me tell you, I'd rather slow down than miss three or four games. Yeah.
Because I didn't got put out.
Here's a call from Fred in Rochester. Fred, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, hi, guys. Real glad you took my call here. Great show as always. And I'm glad Thurman's on because I've got a question for Thurman. What do you think would happen in the old days? And I'm even before you, so I'm really in the old days. What do you think would happen if somebody ever did that to one of your teammates? I'm talking about Gronkowski. Do you think? And I think I got the answer to this one. What do you think would happen? I didn't see any backup for that guy at all. I didn't see anybody get in his face. I don't condone fighting, don't get me wrong, but somebody's got to back you up, baby. Somebody's got to get you. And I played football, all right? Nobody does that to any of my players, okay?
What do you think, Terman?
In their face.
What do you think?
Well, Marv always had the saying of, you probably heard it, don't be dumb and don't be dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at that point in time right there, you don't have to be dirty. You don't have to be done, but you do make a point to Rob Gronkowski or whoever it is over there on the sideline that you make a point that this ain't right. I mean, okay, if you want to get a 15-yard penalty, fine. I mean, we're losing 23-3.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 4 minutes left. What, a 15-yard penalty? Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that, Coach. And like I said, Darryl and Cornelius and Bruce, they already said they would have been over there in his face doing something. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, is that what the text message was?
That's what the text messages was. Yeah, I mean, it was right afterwards.
Maybe it was you that tweeted that out. I don't know. Somebody, one of you guys tweeted that out.
What?
That you'd have been over there in his face.
Well, yeah, I would have. Yeah, I mean, I got a call right from Jim, you know, and he was saying, if that was you or me or whatever, I would have been over there.
Yeah.
Something should have been done, and something probably should have been done. More than what was done during that play.
Why do you think it wasn't?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, these guys have been taught to, okay, let's play within the rules, which we all say all the time, or, you know, you didn't want to get a 15-yard penalty, or you might have got ejection, or you might have get fined or something like that. I don't know what it was. And I think from the fact that it was probably over on New England's side, probably had something to do with it, because I think Gronkowski kind of just walked off the field. And so, I mean, you can't go on the bench and stuff like that. So I think at that point it was kind of over. But for him not to be back out there on the next series, the New England Patriots knew that was a bad move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A call for Thurman from John in South Buffalo. Go ahead, John. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, hey, guys. I love the show. My question is actually for Squirmin Thurman.
Squirmin Thurman.
Go ahead.
Yeah, John, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I want to know, what do you predict the last four games of the season for the Buffalo Bills? Do you think they actually have a shot to make the playoffs?
Well, I mean, if you really be honest, 3-1. 3-1, I mean, unless something happens to Tom Brady in the next couple of weeks, then it'll probably be 4-0. But I think right now, I'll say 3-1. I think they can beat the Colts, and I think they can beat the Dolphins twice. Just not quite sure about going up to Foxborough and winning a game up there. Because I think at that point, New England might know or should have some type of idea of where they're going to be seeded, 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. So all depends on that. But I say 3-1, so they'll finish, what, 9-7?
9-7.
And hopefully with Baltimore and Tennessee, I think those are the two teams that we're looking at to kind of lose games now, and even Kansas City to get a better draft pick. So, yeah, I say 3-1.
It's difficult for these players, Thurman, for to hear people worried about the draft and draft position. And I mean, if you're in that locker room playing, putting your life on the line essentially every Sunday, you don't want to. You're not worried about next year. Right?
No, you're not worried about next year. I don't even think. I think a lot of players probably don't even listen or know what's going on or what people are talking about right now. I'm sure somebody, has an idea or a reporter may say something or whatever. But you know, these guys trying to get ready for the Colts, and they don't have time to be. I'm sure later on they'll be like, yeah, who you want? You want
Darnold or
Rosen or somebody like that. You know, that's for the coaches and the scouting department and the GM to handle. It should never be put on a player to be answering questions like that.
Because he has nothing to do.
Nothing to do with it. Right,
the only thing he can handle is what he's doing on the field, which ultimately, you know, will affect what they do in the draft. But – come on, man. I don't care what they're doing in the draft. I don't have the players like, I don't even watch the draft.
Right.
I don't want T.Y. Hilton to be doing this in the end zone. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm worried about. I don't want Frank Gore coming in there and moving up the rushing chart again, career rushing chart. I don't want him to come in there and have a big day. Those are the things that I'm worried about.
We finally got to the Colts, and I got a question for you. No, seriously, it's going to be like that this week because the Colts have no national profile. They only have 3 wins. But Frank Gore Thurman, 5th all-time in rushing. This
man,
and I feel like we here in Buffalo we missed his glory days because he played out west for so long. But this is one of the all time greats, 5th on the rushing yardage chart.
5th in the rushing chart, and when I saw this game and I saw that he moved up 5th, my thing was, okay, this is a time where he's out on the football field. I'm going out and introduce myself.
Oh, you never met him?
Never met him before. Wow. Never met Frank Gore before. But I mean, even from the injury that he had, I think it was at the University of Miami, to come back and be 5th all time. I mean, just past Bettis and LaDainian.
Yeah, Tomlinson. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm sure he's not that far from 4th. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Probably Emmett, Barry, Walter.
I left my stats in the other room.
And, boy, it's Emmett, Walter, Barry, somebody else. Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
And he's 5. Hmm. Man, I'm sure he's close to Eric Dickerson right now.
He's 34 years old.
34 years old.
And he's on pace, I figured it out this morning, for like 800-some yards at age 34. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Curtis Martin that had – Curtis Martin led the league in rushing. I think he was 33.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, just think if he had luck.
I was just about to say, he has to be getting mentally, all right, I'm done. I'm on a team that's 3-9.
3-9.
You know, he went from the 49ers, and when he was there, really getting it in was when Kaepernick was there, and they went to the Super Bowl. They had those good years. Now, it's a totally different team that he's on.
Yeah.
For the past, I don't know, because he was on the Niners when they weren't good as well, you know. So he has to be just getting to that point where I can't take this anymore, you know.
And just remember, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, led the league in rushing, the Buffalo Bills, who was a coach then, and who was a coach in San Francisco, Greg Roman, running the football. So that tells you right there, man, he's been in that system. He knows what works for him.
Take one more phone call while Thurman is with us. Jim in Amherst is on the line. Hello, Jim. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. You know, something something touched my heart when Thurman said that he would go thinking about going to New England. It would be pretty neat to see Thurman, Jim Kelly, and a bunch of the old guys from the old time 90s go there and support the team for what happened. I think it'd be pretty neat. And I met Thurman a bunch of times back in the 90s when I was going out and to class act a bunch with a bunch of other guys from the team. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I don't know if all of us guys would go. I just thought about it. It is Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
How's that going to go over?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go over well at the Thomas Hall. I'll just greet those guys at the airport and say, hey, good luck to you guys. Something like that. No, that wouldn't go over well. But you know what? It's just, you know, we're Buffalo Bills. I mean, and what we think that Gronkowski did to Trey White was wrong.
Yeah.
It was definitely wrong. And I mean, I talked to Andre Tippett, and he said it was wrong.
And it was nationally, everybody nationally is like, that is wrong. And the fact that, number one, he wasn't ejected was wrong to me.
Right.
The refs missed something. And the fact that he got one game, the same as Juju Smith-Schuster, is wrong. You know, he should have got more games with the opportunity, I guess, to reduce it to one. But you gave him one game for that?
And like, the guy that hit Antonio Brown in the end zone, he got one game.
Well, his got reduced to a fine.
Oh, his got reduced to a fine.
Today,
oh,
yeah. Well, they reduced that to just a fine.
Well, if they can reduce, they can add.
Yeah,
right.
You got it
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening.
They come back like, you know what? We were wrong. Let's just make this a little bit more the next day.
Not happening. Hey, Thurman, before we let you go, you've got a special event coming up Friday, the Thurman Thomas Family Foundation First Holiday Bash, Friday night, 5:30 p.m., Hydraulic Lofts on Seneca Street, 5:30 to 8:30. Right. What's going on here? You're raising money?
Raising donations. People are dropping off donations, gift cards, toys for the inner city kids on the east side, ages from 2 to 14. This is the first time my wife and I have ever did something like this. And, you know, we started this about 5 weeks ago. And it sold out about a week ago.
Really?
Sold out? Yeah, it sold out. And we're very, very thankful for, I guess, a lot of the friends that we do have, you know, really stepped up to the plate and really really done a great job. My wife, Patty's done pretty much everything, you know. And the only thing I've been able to do is just kind of lift stuff and take it up to the office and stuff. But she's done an amazing job of just putting this all together in really a short period of time. And right before the holidays, you know, we're trying to just give back to the community. You know, it's all part of what Lorenzo Alexander and them and all those guys have been doing, too, you know, giving back to the community. And this is an opportunity for me to give back to the community on the east side of Buffalo. So, we're having a party from 5:30 to 8:30. A lot of donations, a lot of food, a lot of gifts from a lot of great friends, and we're just going to try to continue this as long as we're here in the Buffalo area.
It says surprise celebrity guests. Who you got? Come on.
Well, it's the typical usual guys.
You know, come on.
Jim, Tasker. No superstars. No, nobody like that.
No, it doesn't. You got to have A-list, B-list,
Well,
C-list.
You know, it's Buffalo, and, you know, my A-list guys are my A-list guys. It's Jim, it's Tasker, it's LaShawn, it's Kyle, it's Nick O'Leary, you know. Those are my A-list guys there. If you want to come, you know, you can buy your own plane ticket and come on, whatever. But, no, this is right here for the city of Buffalo. This has nothing to do with anybody else. Now, we're going to do a live auction. We're going to do a silent auction. And obviously, there are going to be gifts from other players around the league because I asked them to send some stuff or whatever. And, so you'll be able to bid on some auction items. Got a couple of live auctions that we're going to be going on. So, it's really been great. My whole family's going to be here for it, and it's something that we've really put a lot of work into, and it's getting ready to happen this Friday, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, you should be. That's really cool. It's this Friday, 5:30, 8:30, Hydraulic Lofts on Seneca Street, the first Holiday Bash, the Thomas Family Foundation Holiday Bash. All right, out back into the snow you go. You ready?
I'm ready. I was born ready for snow.
Thank you, Thurman Thomas.
You're from Houston.
But I was still born ready for it.
Thanks, Thurman. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Thanks again to Thurman Thomas for joining us in studio over the last several minutes. Brandon Riley going to step in here in a minute or two as practice winds down. The Bills and the Colts coming up. Independent Health is the
official sponsor of this weekend's game. Independent Health, proud to sponsor this year's Family Day game, a day of football and family fun at New Era Field this Sunday. It is Family Day with some ticket discounts available and some giveaways. So go to the website, buffalobills.com, for more information on that. We got talking with Thurman about the one-game suspension for Rob Gronkowski. Some folks think that's not enough. What do you think? Let's go to Steve in Amherst. Steve, you're on the air with us. Hello.
Yes, man, gentlemen. I would say this, that, you know, we don't have to get that, you know, carried away with Gronkowski. But remember, there's a thing, and it's called payback in pro football, and these things happen. So how I would deal with it as a coach, I would put a guy who's big and strong as him on the line and hit him on the line and try to knock him down on the line and lay on top of him. Don't allow him to get up and see how much he likes that. Should he get up, we'll have a guy like Lorenzo Alexander, the spy, waiting for him, and then we'll crush him that way. There's ways to take guys out.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's not hockey.
Steve, the coach won't get involved in this. You know, I mean, something that if you talk about payback, you know, in the league, that's going to be something if a player wants to hit him or something like that, that's really on the players, you know, and not that we're definitely not talking about anything that like the Saints did or anything like that, but it's just, you know, good, clean payback. If you get a clean shot on him, you take the clean shot on him, and hopefully he feels that shot, you know, and then he might get some words said after that.
How much was Juju Smith-Schuster's hit on Perfect payback? A little bit, right?
I would say so. The way he stood over him.
Yeah,
shows you, yo.
You've got to believe that in meetings and stuff, they, you know, they're watching Bengals video and they say, hey, this guy's been doing this for his entire career. If you
heck
get a chance,
yeah. What? I mean, and it's not even the coaches that are saying that. I'm sure that Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, the rest of the receivers, in their on their own, hey man, this dude has been taking cheap shots for a long time. So
yeah.
Watch out, you know. And if you get a shot, you take your shot on him. And that's just football. It is what it is. You know, people say, oh, that's bad for the league. I understand it might look bad for the league on your end, but you're talking about players on the field who have been cheap-shotted, and they want that revenge. They want it, you know. And so it wasn't his hit wasn't even a dirty hit. You know, it was, for me, that was a good, clean hit. 10 years ago, people would be like, ooh,
yeah.
That was a good hit right there. Now it's like, oh, he, you know, he gets suspended and stuff like that.
The
Gronk's hit was horrible.
Yeah, and on the hit on Perfect, they said he was a defenseless player. Perfect made himself defenseless by, as Thurman said, not keeping his head on a swivel.
Exactly.
You can't be defenseless. You have to defend yourself.
I mean, it's one thing when you're a receiver and you're or a running back or whoever going up to catch
extended.
A pass. Yeah, you're extended to catch a pass, and you just boom, because there's nothing that guy could do to defend himself. He's trying to catch a ball. He's focused on that ball. You're focused on him. It's a total different thing when you're just running around on the field, not paying attention, and you don't have your head on a swivel. Since you play Pop Warner, they tell you keep your head on a swivel. You don't just run around out there and not know what's going on. My son plays Pop Warner, and I tell him all the time, you have to understand what's going on out there on the field, you know, because if you don't, you're going to get hit, and it might hurt.
You know, given his history, I think it's reasonable to assume that Vontaze Burfict is out there looking to hit somebody, just like he got hit, don't you think?
Yes.
He's, you know, that's what he does.
Exactly.
Looking to hit somebody, to drill somebody like he got drilled.
Right. So
I don't know. We're going to break. Brandon Riley's standing by to join us, the Bills wide receiver, the rookie, promoted from the practice squad to the 53-man roster yesterday. He'll be in studio with us when we return. Brandon Riley. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. The Bills have wrapped up their practice out on the at Pro Sports Training Center turf. And joining us in studio with Donald Jones and me is a brand-new Buffalo Bill, now on the 53-man roster, rookie wide receiver Brandon Riley. Brandon, congratulations. Thanks for coming by here.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me out.
When did they give you the news that you were bumped up from practice squad to 53?
Yesterday around, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Phone call? Or
got a phone call, and, you know, they asked how my day off was going.
Was it the coach or agent?
It was one of the operations people here,
yeah.
And then my agent, I think, was on a flight, so they couldn't get a hold of him right away.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I mean, why would it go smooth, you know?
What changes for you when that happens?
The paycheck, baby.
Right? The paycheck changes. Right
yeah,
away,
yeah.
Right?
I think I'll use this first one, you know, pay off the rest of my student loans and get those out of the
there
way.
You go. But,
that's smart. You know, that's smart. Definitely a big accomplishment of mine, but, you know, it's not the last thing I want to accomplish, but definitely something to check off the list.
What else changes for you? I mean, is there any difference in practice today from what you were doing a week ago when you were on practice?
Yeah, a few more reps, you know, with that first team offense in there and, you know, just getting reps at every receiver position, all three of them. So, you know, if they call my number, I'm ready.
You know, it has to be different. Now, obviously, you know, you prepare yourself every day as if you're going to be pulled up to the 53, but ultimately, now, realistically, you will be on the 53 on Sunday. So it has to feel different when you get into that huddle in practice with the starting team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just got to, you know, but prior I was, you know, trying to put confidence in the coach's head to move me up. And now, you know, I got to put more confidence that, you know, they'll trust me on the big stage Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I'm striving to do each day. And, you know, I think I had a good start to the week today.
With Brandon Riley, just promoted to the 53-man roster yesterday afternoon by the Buffalo Bills and now part of the 53. I wonder, we go back to preseason and you were let go on the final cutdown, and I'm sure there was disappointment. Can you just talk about those two or three days? You're released by the team, you stick around and stay in the practice squad, and just what your mindset was like during all of that going on back around later.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I was really bummed out, but, you know, it wasn't the first time I've been told no or I couldn't do something. And, you know, luckily my pass has helped with that, make the process a little easier, and then, you know, I was pretty down, and, you know, then, like, Eric Wood and Richie, I remember guys like that reaching out to me, like, hey, you still going to be on our practice squad? So, you know, that meant a lot to me, and, you know, they saw potential in me. So, you know, hearing those words of encouragement from veteran guys like them meant a lot.
Did you, in preseason, you were solid, right? 11 catches, 139 yards. Did you go into that final cutdown weekend thinking, I probably got this made, or were you shocked that you got the call that you had not made the team?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty confident, but, you know, you never can be too confident in this league. I found that out pretty quick, but, you know, I mean, I was bummed out because, you know, I thought I earned it, but, you know, my goal after that was, you know, grind away and, you know, make sure I get up this year, and it happened to work out.
When we talked to you back around training camp, you mentioned that one of the things you felt like you needed to work on was finding ways to contribute on special teams. Have you done that in the, you know, the last 3 months or so? Have you found a niche on special teams for yourself?
Yeah, definitely got a lot more work just because college, you know, I didn't do much special teams because, you know, we had a lot more guys on the team and, you know, one of the main receivers got to worry about injuries and all that. So definitely, you know, the last few months getting more confidence, working on all the special teams. And, you know, I've been working on catching punts too, just, you know, as many opportunities as I can do.
A little different catching punts at this level, man.
Yeah.
Especially in that stadium.
Yeah. You know, with the get the wind going out there. It's a whole different ball game.
You know, now you've been obviously on the practice squad, so working a lot of scout team reps. So you've had a lot of work with Nathan Peterman. You probably haven't had any work with Tyrod Taylor. And we don't know who's going to play this week, but how hard is it when, you know, you might be in the game but haven't had any true work with this quarterback?
Yeah, you just got to have trust in each other. You know, he's a professional and a great quarterback, and, you know, as a receiver, your job, when the ball's anywhere near you, you got to catch the ball. And, you know, I feel like if I was in with Tyrod, just, you know, a couple catches early, you know, get his confidence in me going. And, you know, me and Nate have great chemistry, obviously. You know, through practice, we do developmental period at the end of each practice. And, you know, everyone makes a running joke, like, okay, well, Peterman's going to throw to Riley on this play. And so, you know, we gained a pretty good unison, I'd say, throughout the weeks.
Hey, Brandon, when you were released back in early September, I don't know if you were aware of it, but we're out here, you know, talking to fans every day. People were upset. Did you know that? There were fans who were shocked that you were released and upset that you weren't on the 53. Did you pick up on any of that?
Yeah. A lot of people reached out on Twitter to me and stuff like that, but I tried not getting all caught up in that. But, you know, a lot of my friends back home are always searching stuff, and they're sending it, and they're like, well, I mean, the fans love you and all that. And I was just like, well, I just got to, you know, get the coaches to love me as much as the fans now.
Why do you think the fans love you so much? Why did they adopt you?
I don't know. You know, I think probably showed I wasn't, you know, scared to make the tough catches and get hit and stuff like that.
You might even see some Riley jerseys in the stands this week. I mean, that's how popular you are.
that'd be a little crazy.
Like, oh, that's crazy. It's a Riley jersey.
Yeah, well, crazy.
The coaches did notice, in fact, earlier today, Sean McDermott was asked about you and being promoted to the 53-man roster, and here's what the head coach had to say.
Great story, just a phenomenal story, and he's not the only one that's been brought up over the course of the season. Just a great example of when you do things right, you work hard, you bust your tail every day, And I think not only myself but the rest of the team is excited about having Brandon up because he's worked so hard. He's earned it. And just a great reminder for all of us, when you work hard, that result may not come right away, but if you stay persistent, good things happen.
That's Sean McDermott. What do you think when you hear the coach say that, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, that means a lot. Obviously, you know, a lot of work goes into it, and, you know, nothing comes easy. And, you know, from where I started, I think it was truly, you know, started from the bottom, from, you know, when I came out of high school, and just kind of always had that mentality, you know, keep working and, you know, don't get discouraged if things don't work out the first time. But, you know, it means a lot hearing that from the head coach. And, you know, I know yesterday a lot of guys on the team had reached out saying, you know, yeah, they're proud of me and stuff like that. So
how hard is it being on the practice squad? Because when you're on the 53 every week, you know, I mean, practice is it's hard to do once you get really into a season. But you know at the end of the week, all right, we got a game going. But how hard is it for you to be on the practice squad all year knowing this is what I have, you know? And every day you go out there, you ball out. Make great catches, but that's really all you have. You don't have the game to look forward to playing in on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, early on, you know, I would kind of get down being like, oh, well, my week's over with, stuff like that. But then, you know, I was really thinking about it. You can't take it for granted because, like, you think maybe every NFL team has, say, 8 receivers on their team, 2 practice squad. That's not many receivers out, you know, in the world playing the NFL. So definitely something I don't take for granted and, you know, something I'm very proud of.
They got you and the other practice squad guys on the road trip out to Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago for the Chargers game. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was cool, you know, seeing – I went on, you know, road games for the preseason, but, you know, regular season is a little different. And, you know, the game didn't work out how we wanted, but, you know, it was great to, you know, go on a road trip with the guys, had a long flights where, you know, bond, get to know the guys better, and, you know, it was a good experience.
They make y'all sit in the, you know, seats next. You know, a lot of players get, like, a row to themselves. They make y'all sit together.
Nah, it was a huge
give you a half
plane.
A seat.
It was a huge play. You know, we all kind of had our own row. But
747, yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, it was big. But I ended up just, you know, playing cards with Groy and DeMarco and Wood and some guys like that. So, you know, it was good bonding.
Did you take their money?
Nah, can't say that.
Can't take practice squad money. But what do you think? What's your mindset going against the Colts, getting a chance to play this week? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. I don't exactly know my role yet, but, you know, whatever it is, I'm happy with it, and, you know, I'm gonna put everything I have towards it.
Great. Thank you for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Brandon Riley, we called you the people's choice. That's how much
people's
choice is now on the 53-man roster. Donald and I back for another hour. When we return, it is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills off the practice field for their Wednesday practice as they get set to play the Indianapolis Colts. No practice for Tyrod Taylor today and no timetable on when he might practice, according to head coach Sean McDermott. Also not practicing today, held out because of injury, running back Travaris Cadet, defensive end Eddie Yarbrough, offensive lineman John Miller. Limited work today for cornerback Tre'Davious White. He remains in concussion protocol, but he got in some limited work today. Same for left tackle Cordy Glenn. He took a step in the right direction, according to McDermott. He has not played for a couple of weeks now. Tight end Charles Clay, wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin, cornerback Leonard Johnson, running back Mike Tolbert, all of them getting limited work in practice today. Here on the show, we just heard from Brandon Riley, put on the active roster, the 53-man roster, late yesterday. The Bills also elevated defensive end Cap Cappy to the active roster. And to make room, they put a couple of players on injured reserve, including Shaq Lawson, who injured his ankle in last Sunday's game against New England. Also, Jordan Matthews, who's been battling a knee injury for the last couple of games, also went to injured reserve. The Bills getting set for the Indianapolis Colts. 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. The forecast calling for a high of 23 degrees on Sunday with some snow in the morning. The NFL late yesterday upheld the one-game suspension for Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. He will miss Monday night's game against the Miami Dolphins. Also, the NFL has upheld a one-game suspension for Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster for his block on Vontaze Burfict in the Monday Night Football game. Ryan Shazier of the Steelers said the support he is getting is uplifting to him and his family, but he remains in a hospital at University of Cincinnati for a couple of days now. Buffalo Sabres snapped a 4-game losing streak with a win over Colorado last night, a 4-2 final out west. Sabres back in action Friday night in Chicago. College basketball, St. Bonaventure in Canisius tonight, 7 o'clock at the Kessler Center downtown, and the UB Bulls make their first ever trip to the University at Delaware tonight. They'll play the Blue Hens tonight at 7 o'clock in Delaware. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you from our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. The Bills practicing indoors inside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center today. And I don't know what they'll do the rest of the week, Donald. It doesn't look like they'll, you know, I don't think it's going to be serious snow for kickoff on Sunday, but the snow is kind of warming up out here in Orchard Park for the last hour or so. You can see it when we looked outside now, and when you take a look at when you take a look at the stadium shot that we have, you can see it just kind of blowing around. Nothing
it is.
Too severe.
It is. It's looks like it wants to get a little nasty out here.
Yeah.
You know? I don't see. I never played in a snow game here. I think the year before I was here was that game against the Colts, mm-hmm. right? Where it was like it was just I yeah, seen highlights and it was just all snow on the field and.
Yeah.
It looked horrible. I never played in a snow game, but I can only imagine what it would be like. You're not expecting that type of snow on Sunday. But, I don't know, maybe it would be fun.
Yeah, well, you know, it's different. It changes the look anyway. There's something – I've read this and heard this, that there's something about when it's a real snowy game, like the TV ratings kind of take a little bump up.
Really?
And no matter who's playing
see,
in the NFL.
Yeah,
people
want to
see, hey, look at that. That's because all the – let's face it, the games kind of look alike.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when you get these dome stadiums and people kind of, you know, kind of get used to the look of an NFL game. And all of a sudden, when you have a snowstorm and a snow globe effect, people kind of sit up and take notice. Like, hey, look at that. Pretty cool.
You know, I probably would do that. You know, if I saw one, I'm like, wow, look at this. You know, I want to see this for a little bit just to see what it's like out there and if they can actually play in this stuff. It's not easy to play when it's snow. I practice in it. You know, I've never played a game in it, but I've practiced in the snow and just sliding, slipping, sliding all over the field, trying to catch passes. You can't even see. You can't even see a pass from the quarterback who's like 15 yards away from you. You know, it's hard to play in.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't think we're going to get that day this Sunday, but certainly we'll have some weather, and it's coming in now. Our Twitter poll today.
You have to imagine that, you know, they're going to go outside here over the next couple of days.
So.
Yeah, I was surprised they were inside today.
Yeah. You know, typically over most of the recent weeks, Friday's been the outdoors day.
Right, right.
We'll see. And McDermott was talking about it today, as a matter of fact, and mentioned how, you know, you want to have what he called a clean practice. You don't want people slipping and sliding and dropping passes. But, yeah, we'll see. The Twitter poll today. So we just heard from Brandon Riley. Is he the man? Is there an underutilized player, a guy that hasn't made big contributions yet this year that's going to make a big impact moving forward, last four games of the season? On Twitter, we asked which underutilized player will have the biggest impact for the Buffalo offense in the last quarter of the season. What do you think? 48% of you say it is Kelvin Benjamin. That's where I would go with this. 31% say Brandon Riley. 14% say Joe Webb, who got looks in the Wildcat formation this past weekend. 7% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can vote on Twitter. Let us know about what you think on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. You're going with Riley, right? And he kind of echoed what you said about the familiarity factor with Nathan Peterman, if, in fact, Peterman is the starter on Sunday.
If Peterman is a starter on Sunday, I would expect him to throw it to Riley, you know, just because – yeah, he's going to throw it to everybody else, but he has that familiarity with Brandon Riley because these guys have worked the practice squad all year. These guys are good friends. I've seen them upstairs. You know, I go upstairs and eat as if I'm still a player.
I know that.
And I see them upstairs. They sit together. They eat. They talk all the time. And when you have that, it's just natural on the field. You know, it's just how it is. You know, and so if Brandon Riley is on the field and Nathan Peterman is the quarterback – I would say that Brandon Riley, we see some passes thrown to Brandon Riley and really see what he has, you know. And maybe he can show this coaching staff and this fan base that he's Mr. Popular for a reason.
Yeah.
We'll
he's popular.
Yeah.
I mentioned it to him when he's walking out, Brandon Riley, a minute ago. I said, hey, I don't think I've ever recall having a practice squad player having so many fans, so much interest. And it has been that way since September, really, since early September when the final cutdowns.
Who had more interest? Him or Kobe Lissabee?
I think Riley has, don't you? Lissabee calls came over last offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one who never played a game.
Never played a game
in the league.
You know, Brandon Riley, people have been calling for him like he's the backup quarterback. That's what's crazy. Like, you know, backup quarterbacks are usually the most popular guys. You know, you typically have a practice squad receiver as one of the most popular guys in Western New York. You know, one of the most popular guys in the organization. That's a little different, you know, but people were impressed by him back in the summer. and they just want to see what he has. You know, what can he bring this team? Could he be – and he, you know, he's a little bit faster than people think. You know, he can get down the field a little bit. Obviously, now we've been talking about, you know, corners or receivers, young rookie receivers that haven't been able to get separation, haven't been able to get off the line of scrimmage, you know. Now, we saw what he could do against, you know, second and third stringers back in the summertime. Now, we're going to see if he gets in the game what he could do against some starters.
Yeah.
Luckily for him, these aren't their true starters. You know, these guys that he's going to see have four games combined played in the NFL. You know, so it's a good game really for everybody on this offense to get going, regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who, if Brandon Riley is out there playing or not. You know, this offense should be able to get going against this Indianapolis Colts defense.
They had a couple of rookies at corner last week. Nate Hairston, who really got torched, number 26. Kenny Moore, the second. It's kind of tough to watch the Colts right now, Donald. It was, and you know, I came away thinking, man, Jacksonville's better than I thought. And then I thought, the Colts are pretty bad. You know,
the Colts really are worse than you thought they would be.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, it's crazy because people would say, well, they don't have Andrew Luck. I don't know if Andrew Luck even makes up for how bad this team is. You know, this team is pretty bad, and Andrew Luck is banged up because that offensive line has been traditionally that bad, and he's not a guy who gets the ball out of his hands. Now, don't get it twisted in what we're saying up here. Just because this team is that bad, they still have won three games this year. So, you know.
Yeah, I just looked up their wins again, though. Cleveland, San Francisco, at Houston.
Yeah. But if you come out sleepwalking, you shouldn't take them lightly, but it could happen.
It could, yeah. They're just not good. And you look for answers, and I respect Frank Gore. I know T.Y. Hilton is a quality player. The tight end makes a lot of catches, but, geez, there's just not a whole lot there.
There's not a whole lot there. And it starts with them up front. They don't have anything in the trenches, you know.
So Offense or defense.
Right. So the Bills should be able to dominate up front. And, you know, and that's my matchup of the week is Kyle Williams versus, you know, their left guard. And their left guard, I can't even pronounce
Vunovic.
Vunovic. It's a tough one. Make sure you don't mess that one up in the game. That's my matchup of the week because he's been a guy who's given up some sacks this year, you know, and he's their left guard, and Kyle will face him. They're going to double-team Kyle, but, you know, we'll see what Kyle can do against Vunovic. But their offensive line in general has not been good this year.
Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We'll take a call here from Will in Baltimore. Hello, Will. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hey, Don.
What's up?
Hey.
I wanted to talk about Brandon O'Reilly. Brandon O'Reilly.
Right.
I think that I totally expect him to come out and have a great game because it would be so busy for him to have a game like that, to have a guy on the practice squad. It reminds me of when Fred Jackson was on the practice squad and everybody wanted him to come up. And I think it was Dick Geron kept going with Anthony Thomas.
Yeah.
But he really couldn't get anything done. And we saw Fred Jackson on the practice squad. He's like, bring this guy up, but they never brought him up. And I feel the same way about Brandon. I think that he'll have a big game.
Hey, Will. I hope Brandon Riley has a big game. So you know, I hope he does. You know, I hope you're right about that. But since you're in Baltimore, I want to ask you about what's the vibe down there in Baltimore about the Ravens? You know, you're a Bills fan in Baltimore. So what's the vibe that you hear about the Ravens?
I know so much being a Bills fan and being from Baltimore. Like, I go through it, man. It's ridiculous. But I've been a fan since, like, 90. Like, I'm a fan because of Thurman Thomas. But, man, every time Flacco throws a pick, man, they want him out of the game. they're ready for Flacco to be gone. But, you know, of course, that's not going to happen. But, yeah. Hey, Don, you have my second favorite play in Bills history, man. That touchdown pass against New England. Besides Nate Clemens' hit on Tom Brady, you're like my second favorite play in all the years that I've been watching the Bills. And I'm glad you bounced back. I wish you could have played longer, but I'm glad you bounced back and you're back on your feet. It's a good thing.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling all the way from Baltimore.
Definitely.
Tyler in Fairport, New York. Go ahead, Tyler. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. Good. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Eddie Yarbrough. I think he's actually going to have a great last quarter of the season. Him and Cap Cappy, who just got called up from the practice squad. Yarbrough had a big impact in the preseason. Hasn't worked out as well during the season, but, you know, I think he's going to have a great game with Shaq Lawson being on IR.
Yeah. Yarbrough didn't practice today. He's got that, I believe it's a chest injury from last week.
Yeah.
I thought he had a solid game against Kansas City a couple weeks ago. In fact, we tried all last week to get Yarbrough on the show.
He did.
And just because he was getting treatment all the time with his injury, wasn't able to come
maybe
on.
He's big-timing us now.
That could be. I doubt it.
Yeah, you know, there's some players that big-time us around here. You know, won't say any names, but I've been trying to get a couple players for a little while now. It hasn't happened for us.
But I hope Yarbrough has an impact. You know, at some point during the offseason, there'll be plenty of time to talk about Shaq Lawson, Donald. And he had his moments during these now his season is over.
Yeah.
During the 2017 season, he had his moments. But I to say he's indispensable or a key part of their defense, I think would be a stretch.
Well, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. You know, and I think about this and I talk to people about this all the time. Matter of fact, yesterday I had a meeting in a school district, and I was meeting with about seven people from the school district. And we started, obviously, after we talked about what we needed to talk about, started talking about the Bills. And they were like, you know, who's going to be here next year? And I was like, listen, there's going to be some moves that are made in this offseason that, you know, might shock you, might not shock you. But this team might look totally different next year than it does right now. And a guy like Shaq might be in that boat. You know, I don't know. You know, this is his second year. Maybe they feel like they can give him another year. But, you know, I'm not sure. He's flashed at times, but hasn't been consistent, you know, and coach wants to have consistent pass rush with his front four, you know, and if he can't get that done, or at least, you know, they would bring somebody else in and he'd be a backup. If they can't get consistent pass rush with your front four, it hurts this defense. That is the design of their defense. They want to be able to get pass rush consistently with the front four, stop the run with the front four. They don't want to have to blitz everybody. He hasn't been giving them this year, you know, so we'll see what happens with him.
It's a great opportunity here for Eddie Yarbrough, though,
yeah.
If he can get healthy
yeah.
with, you know, to make his mark in these final four games. Here's a call on the Gronkowski situation from Bob in Syracuse. Go ahead, Bob. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, I was talking about – I was wanting to talk about these quote-unquote penalties for getting games off. To me, when you go in and you give a guy a concussion, he's going to be out 3, 4, 5 games, maybe for the whole season.
Possibly.
To give the person that did it a 1-game suspension, I mean, you're looking at, you knock a guy out for the whole season or maybe half of the season. And you're given a slap on the wrist, basically. That's what I'm saying, is you get a slap on the wrist, not a penalty.
Yeah, we don't know how long Tre'Davious White's going to be out. He did practice on a limited basis today, so there's a chance he could play this Sunday.
And I'll say this, Bob. Most concussions, guys are not out for a full season. You know, they come back. Now, long-term is when you are affected. You know, after these concussions that you might get playing football, you feel that stuff long term. Some guys are out for a season. The guys that get, you know, even worse concussions like Luke Kuechly was last year. But it's crazy. You've seen on Twitter, they should suspend Gronkowski as long as Tre'Davious White is out. Like, if he's out for 3 games, suspend Gronk for the length of the time Tre'Davious White is out. You know, so if he plays this week, then what? He doesn't get suspended.
Right. Yeah.
I just think they need to have clear black and white, this is what it is. All right, like college football, this is targeting, okay? If you target somebody, his was out, and this is what I think would help to make this even clearer for the refs or for the league to make this decision and how long they needed to suspend Gronk. Because if you have a targeting rule in the NFL where, okay, you targeted this guy, you're ejected from the game, you get 1-game suspension, that's black and white, clear as day, you know? And then this guy, after the play, you did this, gave a kid a concussion, we can't give you 1 game after, I mean, you know, that's for targeting. We got to give you something more. But right now it's just up in the air and at their discretion on how many games they feel like they should give. They don't have a true, it's this amount of games for a penalty like this.
Still don't understand what Rob Gronkowski was thinking there. You know?
I don't either.
I don't understand what got into him.
I mean, look, I don't want to hear anything about being frustrated.
No.
any of that stuff. None of that stuff matters. I don't even know how you're frustrated because a guy was holding you. You push off all the time. That is your game. You push off all the time. Right.
How much frustration was it?
You had nine catches for, you know, what, over 100 yards in that game. You're winning 24-3 or whatever it was with 4 minutes to go in that game. Frustrations don't even matter, all right? Even if you're losing and you do something like that, that's a cheap shot. I'm sorry. It's a cheap shot.
Terrible.
And as clean as your history has been on the field, you still that doesn't give you a pass for something like this because you could have changed a guy's life. You know, a guy with a family, with a kid. You could have truly changed his life. And for you to think that it's okay, oh, I was frustrated. So what? What if you did paralyze him? Then what? You know, would you say, oh, I was frustrated? I'm just sorry. Sorry doesn't count. Right. Sorry doesn't cut it. You know, luckily he wasn't hurt like that, but he still did have a concussion or does have a concussion.
Terrible. Just terrible. Hey, the Bills are off the practice field. They started just before noon today and came off the field about an hour or so ago. And after practice, as he usually does, LeSean Shady McCoy met with the media, talked about the game coming up. It's an interesting matchup between a couple of, you would think, strong candidates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame on either side of the football, LeSean McCoy for the Bills and Frank Gore for the Indianapolis Colts. And McCoy, on his in his news conference today, started out about going up against Frank Gore. Here's what he had to say.
I'm a big fan of Frank. We're solid friends, so we're pretty good. I've been watching for a long time before the NFL and also during the NFL. He's a heck of a player, durable, you know, runs hard. Even like sometimes to train in Miami, I would train with him. And a lot of guys, I don't really trade my jerseys a lot, but he's a guy that we already talked, I'm giving my jersey, want to switch. You know, he's one of the guys I really respect, you know. So we have the same agent, Drew Rosenhaus. You know, we've been friends over the years. You know, I'm proud of his career. He just moved into fifth place in the all-time list, and that's major. I mean, the NFL has been, I mean, here for a long, long time. You know, for him to be fifth is major. So I'm excited about that.
Have you ever traded jerseys with other players?
A couple guys. Why
Frank?
I respect them. You know, it's a couple guys that I do respect that I'll trade jerseys with. You know, they're hanging up in my basement. He'll be one of them, for sure. Sometimes, man, I think in this league, fans and the people in this league, they want the new thing, was hot. You know, running backs, there's a couple of young guys that's really, really good, and they, like, attach to them, and they hype them up, and they pump them. But a guy like Frank, he obviously doesn't have the yards like he used to, you know, but the work he's put in, you know, it's just hard work to put them type of yards up each year. You know, for you to be fifth all time, and he needs his deserves his respect, and I respect him. I'm not sure. I'm sure he'll get in the Hall of Fame. You know, Frank's a guy. He's quiet. He loves football. You know, that's what he cares about. You won't see him in, like, the cool commercials, or you won't see him in with the media, you know, hyping himself up or talking a lot. You know, he's a guy that does everything. Hey, goes to work, does his job, and goes home. You know, so I think that's maybe why. But I'm sure once you look at his career, when he's done, and they talk about him, I mean, I think he'll have a chance, a big chance, to get in the Hall of Fame.
That longevity is what you're striving for. How much do you look? I know your styles aren't the same, but how much of his game and what you've learned from your interactions with him will help you to eventually, hopefully, play like as long as he has?
One thing from talking to Frank is he stays hungry. You know, there's times where we have, like, lunch before and just talking about football. I seen him this year or last year in the Super Bowl, and then we were just joking and talking, and just his mindset on who's a good player, who's not, who works hard, certain players that have arrived, that think they arrived, they haven't, and the way he talks about them is they can be so much better if they do this better, if they work harder, you know, and that's a guy like Frank who was number five all time, and he's still trying to improve his game, he's still working hard, he's still the first one there, the last one to leave, he's one of them guys.
Made the playoffs personally.
Yeah.
Are you getting to the point of the season now where you start really kind of gripping and going, is there a worry that maybe, you know, grip a little too hard?
Well, all that I can do is just control what I can control, you know, us as a team. You know, all that we can do is win out,
you know, give her a shot, give us a chance to get into the playoffs. I mean, every player that plays this game, they want to just have an opportunity to get to the playoffs. Because anything can happen once you get there. And that's where we're at right now.
You can't lose to this team, can you? If you want to go to the playoffs, I mean, they're out of it.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You can't lose to this team, can you? I mean, they give up the most points in the league. If you lose to them, you're pretty much done, aren't you?
Well, I mean, every team has a chance, you know, if you play the game. So, we can't lose this game. I mean, that's kind of right. Our mindset is we can't lose this game. We got to win. You know, we just got to play together as a team, man, to get a win.
Is this one of those games where if it's Nathan, obviously he's a rookie, it's Tyrod, he's a little banged up. Is this one of those games where you have to think, I'll carry it. I can carry this offense to a win.
Whatever it takes to win. You know, that's the mindset. Whatever it takes to get one win. I mean, if it's me, if it's Benjamin, if it's Mike Tolbert, whoever it is, I mean, we just got to get a win. Right now, I mean, all the individual attitude, we together have to win. You know, that's us taking care of the ball on offense, converting on third downs, scoring, no turnovers, the defense taking the ball away, maybe scored on defense, whatever it takes to win.
But you give this team the best chance to win.
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think going through me, I mean, that's kind of always the plan.
Last week, the roller coaster, a few games good and a down game.
Yeah.
What have you learned this season in particular to maybe apply this week to make sure you stay on that
up? I think the biggest thing is just playing smart and not turning the ball over. You know, that way we can have a chance to win. We got to give ourselves a chance to win. You know, we can't beat ourselves. And then once we get this win, then how we handle that the next week. Be best for us to stay in this playoff hunt.
LeSean Shady McCoy answering questions today. Enormous respect for Frank Gore, which I guess you would expect. Gore's about 5 years older than McCoy, but I'm not saying their careers have been on parallel paths. But it's amazing to me when I started crunching numbers and looking at Frank Gore's career numbers. He's been a major player for a long time.
Yeah, Frank Gore has been a major player and consistent for a long time. And like LeSean McCoy said there, quiet. You know, you never see him in the media. You don't see him in commercials or any of that stuff. Just quiet, goes to work every day, works hard, and he comes out on Sundays. He's doing his thing week in and week out. And you know that he's able to do that because he's working so hard during the week and during the offseason. At 34 years old, he's still, you know, he's not the same player as he was, but he's still coming into work and getting it done, you know, for them. Week in and week out. So, man, you have to have nothing but respect for a guy like Frank Gore, who you never see in the news anything wrong or anything like that. You know, he's quiet. He just goes to work.
Here's a call from Mike. Mike is on the line. Go ahead, Mike. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, John?
Good.
I have a question about the offensive coordinator position, Rick Dennison. His play calling is horrendous. It seems like he calls the wrong plays at the wrong time. Are the Bills actively searching for a new offensive coordinator? Are they going to keep this guy in this position?
Well, they just hired him, Mike. I mean, 12 games in, you're ready to fire him?
I was ready to fire him after game five.
A little bit of a quick trigger, I would think, Mike. Doesn't he deserve more than 12 games? Really want to replace offensive coordinator?
He came from Denver with 2 years of offensive coordinator experience there, but he didn't call the plays. Kubiak called the plays, coach. So Dennis's position there was just, his name was the offensive coordinator, but he wasn't doing the play calling in Denver. I don't think he has experience to make this team go forward in the future for the Bills.
He's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of experience. And who knows? Look, nothing. Right now, he's not going anywhere. Look, I could be wrong. Yes, we've been wrong as soon as we say something like that,
right.
You know. But at least through the rest of this season, he's going to be here.
This notion that there's like a silver bullet that will solve the Bills' problems and it's fire this guy will solve their problems, I just can't get around that. One of the main reasons why the Bills have gone 17 years without a playoff spot is the constant churn of coaches and systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's counterproductive. Look, they may choose to hire a new offensive coordinator when this season is over. They may not. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
Right.
I don't know that they should. I would be very careful about constantly switching coordinators. So last year there were two coordinators. So by my count, it's like five coordinators in 5 years, and you're ready to make another change? I mean,
yeah,
really?
You can't. You can't
consistently change.
You think
that's the silver bullet that solves everything? I don't think so.
Because every time you get a new coach, and people, you know, we talk about a head coach wanting his players. Well, a coordinator needs a certain type of player for their system, you know, and that's just what it is. It's really more than the head coach, because the defensive coordinator, I need a certain type of player to run the system. Offensive coordinator, I need a certain type of player to run the system. So even if you just were to fire the offensive coordinator, a new guy comes in with a new system, I need these types of players. Who knows? That could be Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, all of those guys, and they're all gone now, you know? So it's like every time you change coaches, you it's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's counterproductive to your team and what you're trying to do moving forward, and that's why you haven't been in the playoffs for so long. You have to allow for, you know, this coaching staff to build what they need to build, and that takes a couple of years in this league, you know, and a couple of drafts. And the biggest thing is that they draft – well, if they draft well, then you'll be all right, you know, next year and the next year moving forward. But that's just something that we have to see moving forward.
All right, we'll break. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
About a half hour left in the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Tomorrow, Reuben Brown will be in. We always look forward to Reuben's visits, Donald. Right?
Yeah, Reuben.
What did I do with my schedule for tomorrow? I didn't bring it in. I don't know. Like the thing that says what's coming up tomorrow?
Oh, that thing. Yeah, it's not in here. Right. It's usually like a notepad.
Yeah, thing. I don't know where it is. We'll be all right. We've only got a half hour.
But yeah, we got Rube on the show tomorrow. He's always funny.
Yep.
Talk to him a little bit about, I don't know. He, you know, when we get Ruben, it sometimes will go off the rails with the show. You know, we start talking about
food,
grapes.
And music.
Yeah, last week we talked a lot about food.
Food, yeah.
Last Thursday.
Yeah. Ruben will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll take your phone calls. Want to know from you. I don't know what to call them. Jay and I were talking earlier. Are they newcomers? Are they, they're not players returning to the lineup, but there are some new faces coming to the Buffalo offense, you would think, if things work out, including Kelvin Benjamin and Brandon Riley, Joe Webb of the – underutilized players we settled on.
Do we see more of Joe Webb, like Wildcat stuff?
Do we see more? I don't know.
You know, I mean, they got the big run. They got the throw that, you know, they didn't connect on.
Yeah.
You'd have to expect now that the Colts would plan for Joe
right.
Webb, you know.
Right.
So do we see more of Joe Webb? I don't know.
Thinking about it is, the Bills may figure they can line up and play pretty much straight up against this Colts team and
yes.
be successful on offense.
Exactly.
Might not need gadgets and tricks, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Save it. When you need it. Anyway, the underutilized player will have the biggest impact in the final four games. Who do you got? Kelvin Benjamin, 48% of you say he's the one. 31% say Brandon Riley. 14% say Joe Webb. 7% say somebody else. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Have thoughts on that. Let's go to Caesar in California. Hello, Caesar. Where are you calling from in California?
Exactly. What city I'm calling from?
Yes. Where are you calling from, Caesar?
Oh, I'm calling from a little town, dead center, by Fresno.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
Well, first of all, how you guys doing? John Don?
Good.
Great. Thank you.
My player that I thought of that hasn't been talked about enough is Matt Milano. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the contributions he's put for the team, you know, stepping forward. I mean, I really, to be honest with you, haven't heard anything from him before this year. And when they put him in there, I mean, I think he's actually made, you know, a big difference. You know, the more it seems like for me, what I've seen, the more they put him in, the more effect he has on the game. I mean, I've seen him always, you know, around the ball or making moves on the ball and stuff like that. So, I mean, I would just like to know what you guys think about Matt Milano.
Well, he moves well, and I think that's his biggest asset. He's mobile and fast, and I think that's what he brings to this defense. And I think they have done a good job of finding particular packages to use Matt Milano well. Donald, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing for him. Moving forward, you know, I would expect him to see – well, I'd expect to see him in the game more and more as we move more into this – or finish this season out, you know, and – I just think he's effective in the way that they've tried to use him, you know, and he's gotten better week in and week out. And that's what the coaches want to see from a rookie. You know, we're putting you out there. You might make some plays. You might have some bad plays. But we need to see improvement every week. And I think that's what you're seeing from Matt Milano.
He's not – just early observations from a couple of games in. I don't see Matt Milano as particularly stout against the run, but you can cover that up, right, with the people around him and with the downs and distances in which you use him, right?
Yeah, you can definitely cover that up, but there's some things you can't cover up, you know, and a good team like the Patriots will find a way to exploit it. And to be honest with you, I mean, last week, the second half, they weren't really good against the run. I'd have to go back and really look and see how much Matt Milano was in on those downs, you know, and if he was getting blocked or something like that. But you'd have to imagine this week you're going to see him because you're playing a team that isn't that good now, you know. You're playing – I don't want to say that because no, they're going to come out and lose.
The same way, right.
You know, it's like I don't want to say that. But, you know, when you watch them on film, it's like, man, this team is – just not that good, but you're playing a team that doesn't have a good record. Let's just say that. And so you'd have to think that they're going to put him out there and let him grow some more within this defense.
The problem is when you say that, the Colts aren't that good. We've seen the Bills now lose four of their last five.
Yes.
We know that they're capable of not playing well, and that's kind of what's scary about this a little bit.
It's crazy because we talk about the Chiefs. You know, everybody's talking about the Chiefs because the Chiefs started off so hot.
Yeah.
You know, and they were 5-0.
5-0.
Yeah, and then they lost so many games, and you forget about the Bills. We're here watching the Bills, and they've lost four of the last five,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, man, the Bills are kind of on the same streak here as the Chiefs. You know, it's just not good. They have not – we've seen them play bad. I mean, point blank, just bad. We've seen them come back against the Chiefs, bounce back, and have a good game. Then last week, they didn't, you know, so – really, to be honest with you, you don't know what team you're going to get week in and week out from this team. And right now, when you especially don't know what quarterback you're going to get, you truly don't know what team you're going to get this week.
Ben calling from Syracuse. Welcome to the show, Ben. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John and Donald. A lot of respect for you guys. I just wanted to comment quick on what you guys were talking about before the break with the constant turnover of offensive coordinators and coaches. I couldn't agree more. And that's a little bit what frustrates me with the Tyrod thing. I've heard you talk a lot, John, about how we got to stick with Tyrod for the rest of the season. He gives us the best chance. I mean, I think you stick with the offensive coordinator, and in the off season, if they've got to pick up a new quarterback, find someone that fits him, and let him do his thing. And I hope Tyrod finds a team that'll, you know, give him the best chance to succeed and kind of build an offense around him. I think that would be the best case scenario for both people. Just your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to rush to the offseason as some people are, you know, and I think I said this with Thurman. I mean, there's, you know, people talking about the draft and firing coordinators and who's going to be the quarterback next year. We'll get there.
We're going to get there.
Maybe it's a function of doing this show for 3 hours every day. I've learned over the years not to rush into these things. Let's, again, with a quarter of the season left to play, let's let this season play out.
We're going to get
four games left, three games against teams with losing records.
I mean, it's crazy because you turn on ESPN, and they're talking about the draft already. Like, the Mel Kiper's big board, you know, and it's like, all right, you know, these kids still have to play bowl games and all of that stuff. And I understand why they're doing it, you know, but us here, we're still with four games to go and really technically still trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, so
not
it's
just
hard
technically,
to start.
You know, really trying to get into the playoffs.
Really trying to get into the playoffs. And so it's hard to really start talking about the offseason. And looking past the next four games, a whole quarter of a season.
Right. I'm not ready to look that far deep into it. All right, NFL true or false. We haven't done this in a while. Did you do it yesterday?
We did it yesterday.
You and Ronnie did it?
Yeah.
I haven't done this in a while. News items, stuff that comes across our desk, and Donald and I try to acknowledge whether they're going to happen or not, true or false. Tom Brady, the favorite for the 2017 NFL MVP. ESPN does a weekly MVP poll. They poll 12 experts who nominate their top five candidates. And this week, for the first time all year, Tom Brady is at the top of the list, replacing Carson Wentz. Tom Brady, NFL MVP favorite, true, false? I'd say true. I think based on what I saw last week, what I've seen from the whole Patriots operation, he is likely to be the most valuable player again. Donald, what do you think?
I hope not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go false on this, and I think the Eagles played a bad game, and I think that's why you have Tom Brady now, you know, sitting at the top of the list because of one, you know, game that they lost. But I think if the Eagles can bounce back this week, and they have a big game this week, I can't remember who they're playing the Rams, I believe. Yeah, they go out to L.A. to play the Rams. If they can bounce back against the Rams and he plays a good game, we'll all be saying, all right, Carson Wentz is back as the MVP. You know, so I'm going to go false on that one. I think it will end up being Carson Wentz. But you can't ever take Brady out of it because he puts up stats and people, you know, nationally love him.
Here's
especially
one about
NBC.
Quarterback Packer, the Packers should keep Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines for the rest of the season. Green Bay with 6 wins, 6 losses. Rodgers, you know, getting some work in practice now. He can come back. Should Rodgers stay in the sidelines the rest of the season? True. Is that true or false? I'm going to go false with this one. If he can play, if he can help them, I think why wouldn't you have Aaron Rodgers back?
I mean, they have 4 games to go, and they're still trying to get into the playoffs. You know, they're sitting at 6-6 right now. They feel like, I'm sure, if we have Aaron Rodgers, we got a good shot, a healthy Aaron Rodgers, healthy enough, you got a good shot at, you know, winning 4 games and ending up 10-6. And so with that being said, as you can see them in the hunt, for people watching on the MSG side, the, you know, Green Bay is what, 3 spots outside of the wild card spot, sitting at 6-6. They got Detroit and Atlanta above them, and obviously Carolina sitting in the wild card. So if they can end up winning the next 4 games to get into the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he should play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, how big of a story? If he's healthy enough, how big of a story would that be? Aaron Rodgers comes back, they win 4 games, get into the playoffs, and everybody say, oh, man, Aaron Rodgers is the best thing smoking.
Finally, Jake Cutler, true or false, biggest bust in the NFL in 2017. Yeah, I'm going to say he is. And I remember when they made the move and he had a game or two, but we're saying, why wouldn't you stay with Matt Moore? I think the Dolphins should have. Miami now at 5-7, and Cutler has had nothing special. It appears that he wasn't really ready to come back. You know, they got him out of the broadcast booth.
You know,
he's a bust.
He is a bust. Yes, he's definitely the biggest bust. This is going to be true. My question is, he was with Fox, right? He was going to work at Fox.
Yeah.
Does Fox now hire him back? You know, does another network say, okay, you can come and work for us now after he up and left Fox all of a sudden because the team called him? You know, I mean, what happens for Jay Cutler now moving forward? That's the biggest question. But to answer that question, yeah, I say true. He is.
I wonder if he was going to be any good as a broadcaster.
And that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he has no real – we don't see his personality on the field, so who knows? Maybe he would have been good.
Right. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Back in a moment with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Thurman Thomas on the show. 4 games left for the Buffalo Bills. Thurman talked about what he expects to see from the Bills down the stretch.
3-1. I mean, unless something happens to Tom Brady in the next couple of weeks, then it'll probably be 4-0. But I think right now, I'll say 3-1. I think they can beat the Colts, and I think they can beat the Dolphins twice. Just not quite sure about going up to Foxborough and winning a game up there.
Thurman Thomas on the show with us today. We have Brandon Riley on the show, the people's choice, the wide receiver who was released by the Bills and then re-signed to the practice squad and now just yesterday signed to the active roster, the 53-man roster. We asked Brandon Riley about getting released before the season and how disappointed he was when he did not make the 53 back in September.
I was really bummed out, but, you know, it wasn't the first time I've been told no or I couldn't do something. And, you know, luckily my past has helped with that, make the process a little easier. And then, you know, I was pretty down. And, you know, then like Eric Wood and Richie, I remember guys like that reaching out to me like, hey, you still going to be on our practice squad. So, you know, that meant a lot to me. And, you know, they saw potential in me, so... You know, hearing those words of encouragement from veteran guys like them meant a lot.
Brandon Riley on bouncing back after being cut. Hey, the Bills injury report is out after practice today, and we have the list of players who were limited and did not practice today. Not practicing for the Bills today, Travaris Cadet, coming off a concussion, suffered late in the game last Sunday. Charles Clay did not practice today with his knee situation. John Miller did not practice with his ankle. Tyrod Taylor, no practice for him today with his knee. No timetable on making a decision whether Taylor will start, according to head coach Sean McDermott. Eddie Yarbrough did not practice with a chest injury, actually suffered a couple of weeks ago. and no practice today for Kyle Williams with a groin injury. Limited work for wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin. The Bills are encouraged that he may get a chance to come back this Sunday. Limited work today for left tackle Cordy Glenn with his foot and ankle. He has not practiced for a couple of weeks, and that's trending in the right direction. Limited work for cornerback Leonard Johnson. Limited for running back Mike Tolbert, and Tre'Davious White limited with his concussion. So a lengthy injury list, and things will clear up a little bit more, especially at the quarterback spot, Donald, I would think, tomorrow. Even though Sean McDermott was not going to talk about timetables, if you get to after tomorrow's practice and there's no practice for Tyrod Taylor, then you start to think, I'd be surprised if he plays. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm guessing that he'll probably be ready to practice tomorrow.
I would think he's ready to practice tomorrow. If not, then, yeah, you have to think, all right, you know, you're talking about going through a full week of practice with no reps,
right?
You know, and I understand you know the system and all of that stuff, but you still need the reps for timing. You got a new receiver now that's going to be out there in Brandon Riley, Kelvin Benjamin coming back, you know, so with Nate Peterman getting all the reps, if Tyrod doesn't practice tomorrow, you'd have to think, all right, Nate Peterman's going to start on Sunday.
Speaking of, you know, some of the new guys and the underutilized players, that was our Twitter poll today. We asked you to identify which underutilized player, which new player, for lack of a better term, will have the biggest impact in the remaining four games of the season. On Twitter, 48% of you said it was Kelvin Benjamin. I'm inclined to agree. 31% say our guest today, Brandon Riley, will have the biggest impact moving forward. 14% thought Joe Webb. 7% had somebody else in mind. Donald, you think Riley has a chance to have an impact on these remaining
games?
I think
it all depends on the quarterback, baby.
Yep.
You know, I think, yeah, Brandon Riley has a chance if Nate Peterman is the quarterback.
All right. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, and Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back with you tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.